Minnesota. Where do you even begin with a story like this? We talked yesterday about how readily, perhaps, we reach for the George Orwell comparisons. I think I'm probably guiltier of that than anybody, pointing to the book 1984 as an example or a guide to what is currently happening. But yesterday was chilling, wasn't it, with the reminder of how the world breaks down into Oceania, Eurasia and East Asia. There's a line in 1984 that events in Minneapolis, or at least the response to recent events in Minneapolis, really throw into the sharpest relief.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, protests have been held in Minneapolis after a woman was shot dead by a US federal agent. Authorities claim that Renee Good was targeted after she tried to run over an officer. It follows months of tensions over Donald Trump's nationwide crackdown on illegal immigration using ICE agents. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has rejected claims that officers fired in self-defense.
We have been warning for weeks that the Trump administration's dangerous, sensationalized operations are a threat to our public safety, that someone was going to get hurt. What we're seeing is the consequences of governance designed to generate fear, headlines, and conflict. It's governing by reality TV.
Downing Street says Sir Keir Starmer has set out his position on Greenland in a phone call with President Trump. No further details have been made public. The US president has alarmed allies in recent days after saying that he wants to take over the Arctic island from Denmark on national security grounds. A report has found some NHS hospitals are now adapting corridors and other temporary spaces to care for patients. Call bells and plug sockets are being installed to try and minimise safety risks. But investigators warn this poses serious hazards, including harder monitoring and infection control. Liz Elford was moved to a chair on a hospital corridor after suffering a heart attack. She's spoken to LBC.
I was literally there, you know, hooked up to a monitor, etc., with another four people. It was just a makeshift corridor. There wasn't any sort of privacy. I did eventually get a bed, but I think that was more so my husband had come back from a trip away, and I knew that he would kick up a fuss because I didn't just have a virus, I'd actually had a heart attack.
The government says it is working with NHS trusts to end corridor care. Official figures show the number of people in hospital in England with flu has risen slightly, having previously fallen for the 2 weeks in a row. An average of 2,924 patients were in hospital each day during the week ending January the 4th. That's up 9% from the previous week. And for the first time, all Year 11 students will be able to view their GCSE results on a smartphone app this summer. Officials say it'll cut millions in admin costs and make it easier to find results for processes like job applications. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 17 at 10,031. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather. Snow showers will continue across Scotland as Storm Goretti moves in. The south will become wet and windy after a dry start, and rain will turn to snow in Wales and central England by the evening. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Mr. Thing is quite happy with himself. He's just got 20% off home care with British Gas, which covers the plumbing and heating, including unlimited call-outs and repairs. So what we're hearing is the satisfaction of knowing the boiler is sorted through song, if you can call it that. So search British Gas Home Care to get 20% off today and keep your showering hot. Terms and conditions apply. Ends 3rd of Feb. New to home care customers only.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after 10. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And I don't think I need to apologise for directing your attention straight back to the United States of America, about which we've talked almost exclusively so far this year. But the shooting of a completely unarmed and innocent woman in Minneapolis is one of those moments. Given that someone's dead, you hesitate to draw parallels with events that didn't involve fatalities, but not unlike the humiliation of Volodymyr Zelensky in the Oval Office. It's one of those moments where you realise just how violent the change to the natural order of things, or at least the established traditional order of things, has become. Not because somebody has been shot by a enforcement agent, an ICE agent in this case, apparently and almost inarguably in cold blood, but because of the response. You know, there are cases in all countries of armed law enforcement officers discharging their firearms, killing people extrajudicially or illegally. You'll be familiar with cases of that from this country, although thankfully, given that armed officers are not routinely deployed on the streets of our towns and cities, we hardly ever deal with it. But you know it can happen. It's the response, and it's the fear of the response, or rather it's the knowledge, it's the grim inevitability of the response that best portrays, that best illustrates just how profound this moment will almost certainly prove to be, because people are already being invited to answer the question of what they can see with their own eyes through the distorting lens of what they think about Donald Trump and his administration. That's the point, isn't it? That's the scary thing. The lazy phone-in would be just to sort of say, what can you see? But then you invite people onto the program who are, whether they realize it or not, lying. Because you can't watch that footage and conclude at this point, unless new angles or miraculous new insights emerge, you can't conclude anything other than a frightened woman trying to drive away from armed officers known to be unpredictable and often anonymous, getting shot in the face. In her car while trying to drive away from them. Immediately, Trump's administration moved to claim that she was trying to drive into them. And immediately, you're reminded of that grim line from George Orwell that I almost wish I'd never quoted before, as opposed to having quoted it to you about 10 million and eight times. Because the line is the one that best encapsulates this stage in the takeover process. The line is the one that essentially establishes the death of observable reality. I don't know how many times we've talked about that together. I don't know how many times we've used that phrase about the death of observable reality. When you go back to the establishment of alternative facts, the use of fake news, all thinking, when I say it to you, when I've said it to you over the years, I've always thought in the back of my mind that this is that hyperbole alarm I spoke to you about on Monday. Or Tuesday, or probably both. That sense you have when you do what I do for a living, and you try at least to move through the madness with a steady hand on the tiller. And I can only do that, of course, with your help. But you still have a hyperbole alarm when you talk about the death of objective reality, the death of truth, the inability to keep up, the pardons, the anniversary of January the 6th, just 2 days ago, and the plethora of pardons of people who committed hideous and heinous crimes. There's a remarkable piece of documentary which tracks the lives of the people who attacked the Capitol that day and the people who were attacked. The befuddlement, the heartbreak of police officers who came on. There's one particular photograph when a former military veteran is trying to gouge out the eye of an officer, trying to gouge out the eye of the officer, and it tracks the two lives subsequently. The criminals, the insurrectionists, the violent assaulters, essentially getting lionized, so getting pardoned and afforded heroic status in the aftermath of Trump's second election victory, while the actual agents of law and order, the people on the ground risking their lives to protect Americans from agents of chaos, they have had their lives turned upside down. Some of them, of course, died. Some of them took their own lives subsequently as a consequence of the trauma. And you have to speculate, you have to imagine the inability to process what they were seeing. The people that attacked us have the support of the president. The people that were attacked do not. All of these things combine on days like today to explain the reaction to the evidence in Minnesota. Nick Ferrari, a moment ago, taking a couple of calls from men who have watched the same footage that everybody else has watched and come away convinced that somehow this murder was justifiable. Again, I'm going to use the word murder, and I'm going to qualify it by saying it may well emerge. I think it's highly unlikely. But what you can't do is the opposite of what Those people do. So I don't know that there is any other reason left now to support everything that Donald Trump does, to be intellectually and psychologically incapable ever of criticizing him. I don't know that there's anything left except the racism. I just can't, for the life of me, imagine what it is he offers that is so intoxicating and so appealing that you would look the other way or pretend that this wasn't happening or not care. It begins for me with the comments about grabbing women by their, forgive me, grabbing women by their vaginas. For me, that was the point at which I began to marvel at the way that anybody could remain on board that particular bandwagon. But goodness me, that feels almost paltry compared to the things that have happened subsequently. The woman he sued for libel after she accused him of rape, a case that he lost. The abuse in the first campaigns of everything from decorated dead military veterans and their mother and father right through to disabled journalists. The hideous contempt for the most basic parameters of common decency and law. So, you know, those are small fry, those events, compared to the events of January the 6th. He continues to lie about an election that he lost by any objective measure, continues to reward and pardon the people who sustained and inflated his lies. So the death of reality, the death of objectivity, is way behind us in the rearview mirror, and yet many people haven't noticed. So to pretend otherwise, it involves a reward. There must be a reason why anybody would pretend otherwise. Like the Venezuelan thing is actually not quite as binary as this analysis allows. Lots and lots, we've spoken to some of them, of Venezuelan people, are delighted with the abduction of Nicolas Maduro. Even people who would normally be in favor of international law are arguing with a semblance of consistency that you can break international law if you're going after people who break international law, or that the laws shouldn't apply to the people going after the people who break laws. It's nonsense, but if I was Venezuelan, it's a great call yesterday about what would happen if somebody broke into your house. You'd be in favor of vigilanteism, wouldn't you? If there were currently kidnappers in your house with your children, you'd probably be in favor of taking the law into your own hands. But that's the point about civilization, is that it doesn't allow those visceral primal urges to prevail. You have laws, you have rules, you have orders. And so that must be it, unless we've got something else. I nearly asked you this question yesterday about what is it apart from the racism that Trump offers to people that is so intoxicating and so heady that even today they will watch footage of a woman being shot with no justification and no reason and pretend that they can see something else. Pretend that they can see something different from what everybody else can see. Convince themselves that what they are seeing is not what they are seeing. And then you come back to George Orwell. This line here, probably the most resonant in the entire book, isn't it? The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command. And that's what's happening now. Before, this poor woman's body was cold. Members of Donald Trump's administration were standing up to tell the American people and indeed the world to ignore the evidence of their own eyes and ears. Don't look here at the footage of absolutely incontrovertible evidence. Look instead at me and listen to the words I am saying. You know, it's as if they took the rhetoric of they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, and put it through some sort of hideous, hideous mangle, after which you can actually now start shooting people for imagined offences and imagined crimes. Extraordinary. And, of course, the man that did it is probably safe. That's the really scary thing when you think about it. When you listen to the words of Tim Walz this morning, the really scary thing is that Trump has already created a society, and Vance and Miller and the rest of them have already created a society in which if you kill someone, you kill an innocent American civilian in Donald Trump's name, then you'll be safe. You'll be golden. Just as you can launch a violent insurrection upon the Capitol in Donald Trump's name, and you'll be safe, you'll be golden, you'll be pardoned when he gets back into power. And he's in power now, so if you shoot someone even if they're American, even if they're innocent, even if they're citizens, in Donald Trump's name, then you are going to walk away scot-free. Just think for a minute about what would have happened to an officer involved in a comparable case in this country. We'd actually be having phone-ins about whether it's fair that he is or she is being treated so robustly and so strictly. Is it actually fair that police officers should face even more rigorous questioning and examination than ordinary members of the public when they find themselves caught up in these kind of scenarios? Sometimes seems a little hard at the moment to find things to be proud of about this country, but if you look hard enough, there's plenty. And the way that we are policed by consent is one of them. So when somebody is shot in this country, usually a black man, by police officers, the full force of the law comes down on those officers, and their cases are examined exhaustively, because otherwise civilization begins to crumble. The forces of law and order can go around shooting people without full scrutiny, examination and investigation. Then you could be next. Your children could be next. If you tolerate this. And that's where we are this morning. The invitation to ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears is so irresistible that it even prompts calls to LBC. You even heard calls towards the end of next show from people determined to ignore the evidence of their eyes and ears. It's there. It's in front of you. It is absolutely clear that a man shot a woman in cold blood on the streets of America while she was trying to drive away from them because presumably she was scared. What would you do? You don't know until it happens. So, what do we talk about today? We're not having some sort of sick VAR-type phone-in where you are free to ring in and pretend that you're seeing things that you're not actually seeing, but because Donald Trump's invitation to let you be racist is so powerful and so strong, you're incapable now of criticizing anything he ever does. Dick Littlejohn at the Daily Mail is probably preparing a column as we speak about why Keir Starmer should let the Met start shooting people in order to prove that he's as ruthless as Donald Trump. It is insane, really, what this brain fever has done to people. I support him, whatever. And of course, you have to also guard against the opposite. You can't approach this story convinced that what has happened is egregious and heinous because you see Donald Trump clearly, because you know what he is, because you've made no bones about what he represents and what he has done. You have to focus on the facts. But, of course, it's the facts that are the enemies of fascism. It's the facts that undermine projects like this. It's the facts that are kryptonite to despotic regimes. That's why they seek to coerce and control media. It's why they seek to shut down dissent. Do you know the college professor who got fired for, as far as I could make out, for a social media post reminding people that Charlie Kirk had said that gun deaths are a price worth paying for the freedom to bear arms? Simply a reminder of things that he had said while he was alive. He got fired. Do you know he got quietly reinstated the other day and reportedly awarded $500,000 in compensation? Because the law can sometimes move more slowly than propaganda and online, manufactured, confected online fury. But it has to get there in the end. So if there is one thing that these people fear more than the facts, then it is the rule of law. And of course, you can't have one without the other. You can't have the rule of law without facts. And so we must be careful, a little careful today, not to conclude that what we are seeing with our own eyes and ears is as disgusting as it looks, simply because we are disgusted by everything else that Donald Trump's administration and the deployment of these ICE goons says. And yet, as we approach 20 past 10 this morning, where does it leave us? This conversation. I have a lot of listeners in America. I don't know if they're up yet. I know a lot of you enjoy the show later on YouTube or on the podcast. I feel on a day like today, your perspectives may be more interesting, or at least perhaps American people in this country. You'll remember Donald Trump said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not lose a single vote. We're pretty close now to finding out. So I wonder if the question we begin with this hour is, does this change any? No, that doesn't work, does it? I'll tell you what we'll do. I've had a go at telling you what it tells me. Why don't you tell me what this incident tells you as it stands? And what I'm fascinated by is the response. So I'll play you some examples shortly of how people who are not ignoring the evidence of their eyes and ears are responding, and how people who are ignoring the evidence of their eyes and ears are responding. And then we'll ask the question of what it tells you, what it tells us, about what is going on in the United States of America. Okay? It's 20 minutes after 10.
LBC.
Did you know Vets for Pets are
the nation's most trusted vets?
We think that's because they're
locally owned
and locally loved.
Wherever you are,
we've got a vet local to you.
Vets for Pets. We're all for pets. Based on a survey. To verify, search vetsforpets.com/allforpets.
If you have an M&S online account or a Sparks card, your data may have been exposed in a recent cyber attack. Earlier this year, M&S confirmed a data breach affecting customer information, including personal data. If you've ever shopped online at M&S or used Sparks, you could be entitled to compensation through a group action claim. Check your eligibility today at jointheclaim.com. It's quick, secure, and easy to do online at jointheclaim.com.
Train to Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie. Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look, that one's the plough.
Shooting star. Wow.
Oh, made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
And 21 minutes after 10, I suppose, if it hasn't happened already, the next stage of the process will be the people who love the racism trying to blame the murder on the people who hate it. Because that's the way it works. I mean, it's so depressing, isn't it, that you can plot these graphs so completely. It will be the fault of the people who are opposed to largely untrained and unaccountable so-called ICE officers discharging firearms, arresting American citizens, acting with comparative impunity, not having the courage even to uncover their own faces on the streets of the United States of America. What you might call state-sanctioned terrorists marching through the streets of cities where they have been deployed for entirely political reasons, often against the wishes of the democratically elected local governments. But of course, the online motivated goons and sympathizers will now be claiming that it is the fault of the people that oppose state-sanctioned terrorism that state-sanctioned terrorism is happening. Just watch it. I know, you know, I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I bet you, if you have a quick look, that process is already underway. This is all the fault of the people that oppose state-sanctioned terrorism. This is all the fault of the people that oppose the arrest of anybody that they don't like the look of for the crime of looking a bit foreign, or not even that anymore. You get shot in the face. Shot in the face for trying to drive away from armed officers, securing the knowledge that you haven't done anything wrong. So have a listen to the mayor of Minneapolis responding in very emotional terms to what has happened. His name is Jacob Frey. And it is a reminder of what this looks like if you are refusing to ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears.
They are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is this was an agent recklessly using power that resulted in somebody dying. Getting killed. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of ICE and federal officers that were there at the time. Had having them there was only causing more chaos. Having them there was only making a difficult situation even more problematic, and one that, yes, they created themselves. There's little I can say, again, that'll make this situation better, but I do have a message for our community, for our city, and I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. People are being hurt. Families are being ripped apart. Long-term Minneapolis residents that have contributed so greatly to our city, to our culture, to our economy are being terrorized, and now somebody is dead. That's on you. And it's also on you to leave. It's on you to make sure that further damage, further loss of life and injury is not done.
25 minutes after 10. And Tim Walz, the governor of Minneapolis.
We have been warning for weeks that the Trump administration's dangerous, sensationalized operations are a threat to our public safety, that someone was going to get hurt. Just yesterday, I said exactly that. What we're seeing is the consequences of governance designed to generate fear, headlines, and conflict. It's governing by reality TV. And today, that recklessness cost someone their life. I've reached out to Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem, and I'm waiting to hear back. Donald Trump and his administration may not care much about Minnesota. That's been pretty evident. But we love this state. We won't let them tear us apart. We'll not turn against each other. To Minnesotans, I say this. I feel your anger. I'm angry. They want a show. We can't give it to them. We cannot. The hearts and minds of the people in this state are on our side. To Americans, I ask you this. Please stand with Minneapolis. To Minnesotans, know that our administration is going to stop at nothing to seek accountability and justice.
It is 26 minutes after 10. And then Kristi Noem, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, apparently watching entirely different footage from that which the rest of the world can see.
ICE agents repeatedly ordered her to get out of the car and to stop obstructing law enforcement, but she refused to obey their commands. She then proceeded to weaponize her vehicle, and she attempted to run a law enforcement officer over. This appears as an attempt to kill or to cause bodily harm to agents, an act of domestic terrorism. The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots.
So I wonder, having listened to that, and I presume you've watched the footage by now, it's on the LBC website, it's everywhere, and the question perhaps should be, why can't they tell the truth? Why do Trump's people have to come out immediately with a version of events that is at the very best completely unprovable, and at the worst, and sadly at this stage most likely juncture, it is absolutely false. You can literally watch the footage, and the claims that officers were in danger are utterly, utterly bogus. A woman was shot in the face, an American citizen was shot in the face while trying to drive away from the officers that shot her. And yet you can have someone as important as the Homeland Security Secretary standing up and telling the American people to reject the evidence of their eyes and ears. It was sadly not her final, most essential command. It's normal business. Was she watching a completely different video? Asks Richard and many of you. So I can't do a phone in about what we see, because there is no debate. We found this a few times recently. There's no debate about whether Donald Trump broke international law when he went into Venezuela. You can have a debate about whether or not it was somehow justified, but I'd remind you of the words of Margaret Thatcher. You can't have a debate about these things. That plays into the trap. I think that's what Tim Walz was talking about when he said, don't give them a show. Don't respond with the sort of violence that they claim justifies this state-sanctioned terrorism. So what do you have a conversation about? You have a conversation about why. why, because we talked a lot about the rule of law on the international stage this week, you would have to be, I think, a little bit bonkers to think that the ICE agent responsible for killing this woman is going to be fully investigated and potentially punished. You would just have to be. I don't know enough about American law to know where federal trumps state or where state trumps federal or about what it happens. But I want you to tell me why Kristi Noem can't tell the truth about this. Why she can't tell the truth about this. 0345-6060973. So this woman has watched a fellow American woman be killed in cold blood, in broad daylight, on the streets of America. And her job is to come on live television and lie egregiously and obviously, knowing that some media organizations will fall into the trap of having a debate about it, pretending that there are conflicting versions of events, pretending that there is in some way a self-defense argument. Donald Trump has already joined in, saying he's watched the video and he's concluded that the officer was acting in self-defense. It is intellectually impossible to do that. It may, as I say, be the case that other footage emerges at some point in the future that creates the possibility that this was self-defense. But there is no earthly way that a car moving at a snail's pace in the vicinity of a man holding a gun necessitates the man holding the gun shooting the woman moving at snail's pace in order to protect himself. It is insane for Donald Trump to claim that the woman screaming was obviously a professional agitator. How can he know that? The woman driving the car was very disorderly, obstructing and resisting. You've seen the same footage, who then violently, willfully and viciously ran over the ICE officer. You've seen the same footage. You've seen the ICE officer not get run over. And then he adds, who seems to have shot her in self-defense. Based on the attached clip, this is where I think, I don't want to say with respect, because I think you're disgusting, but the people who were ringing Nick towards the end of his show claiming that there's something here that's defensible or justifiable, this is where he treats you like an idiot. When he says, based on the attached clip, it is hard to believe he is alive. You've watched the same clip. You've seen the same footage. One of them falls over. One of them gets out of the way and shoots a woman in the face. Based on that footage, it's hard to believe that the shooter is alive? The situation is being studied in its entirety. Oh, and here it is. I'm sorry, I hadn't read this in to the end when I told you that they'd start trying to blame it on the people who are opposed to the fascism. The reason these incidents are happening is because the radical left is threatening, assaulting and targeting our law enforcement officers. And that moves the question I'm asking you front and center, doesn't it? Why can't they tell the truth? 0345-6060973. So it's a fascinating question. I don't know the answer to it. I've got theories, I've got ideas, I've got threads that we can tug together, but I want yours first. Why can't they tell the truth? Why can't they simply say, we support what ICE do, we support the mission, we believe in its necessity, but obviously this officer needs to be fully investigated because at first glance it looks like he's committed it looks like he's committed murder. Why can't they do that? Why can't they admit that they can see what everybody else can see? Why can't they tell the truth? Can't. Not won't, but can't. 0345-6060973. Hit the numbers now. You will get through. Dominic Ellis has your headlines.
Government Minister Pat McFadden says the United States remains a reliable ally to Britain. Sir Keir Starmer is said to have set out his position on Greenland to Donald Trump last night, following Mr. Trump's threats earlier this week to annex the territory. The Trump administration has defended a U.S. immigration agent who shot and killed a woman in Minneapolis. Officials in Washington say Renee Good tried to run over officers after they tried to stop her car. And large parts of the UK are bracing themselves for the arrival of Storm Goretti. It's forecast to bring heavy snowfall and strong winds to parts of Wales and most of England overnight. LBC weather. Snow showers will continue across Scotland as Storm Goretti moves in. Wet and windy for southern England. Dry elsewhere. A high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Hiya, Kenny the hamster here. Proud pet of Doug and Carol. Hey up. Looks like my mum Carol's off out with the girls again. I tell you, since she took that quick NHS Healthy Choices quiz, she's drinking less, but going out more. And to think, she thought being healthy would mean being boring. You might want to give it a go yourself. Oh, girlfriend!
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices Quiz to get a score and a simple plan to follow.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
People ask me, what's my good place? Checking out the food trucks on the weekend with my partner. And knowing that Pension B helped me combine my pensions into one easy-to-manage plan.
Tacos?
Tacos.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
Hello, this is my mum's work phone. I've re-recorded her voicemail because I'm 8 and I've never had a holiday where she hasn't been distracted by work. This hotel has 2 pools and 3 water slides and she promised to take me shopping. So, before you leave her a message, maybe don't.
Take your holiday seriously. British Airways Holidays. Atoll protected.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
It is 10:36 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I don't know which bit it is that would make you most ridiculous if you are going along with the lies of the American administration about this apparent murder in Minnesota. Probably the bit about the, it's based on the clip, it's hard to believe he is alive, but he is now recovering in hospital. This is the officer who appears to have run back towards the vehicle, shouting for someone else to call 911. I mean, that is the point at which Donald Trump knows how stupid and how bent you are. When he says, yeah, it's hard to believe he's alive, he's now recovering in hospital, and you're watching the same footage and pretending that you believe his version of events. He's actually, I mean, almost proving the contempt in which he holds you by adding that extra unnecessary line. Yeah, I can't believe he's alive. You're watching this and pretending that there's some case for self-defense. And then Donald Trump isn't happy with that level of moral corruption. He wants you to debase yourself completely at the altar of his lies by claiming that the chap is somehow hospitalized and lucky to be alive. Literally nobody could justify that claim. But Donald Trump's done it. So why can't they tell the truth? Why won't they tell the truth? 0345 6060 973. And I worry a little in weeks like this about overcomplicating things. There's a great piece in The Guardian today about how trying to come up with plans. What's the big plan? We've done this really well this week. There's two stories here. There's Donald Trump, about whom the only thing you can say with any certainty is that you can't say anything with any certainty. And, of course, that anything he does will be all about what he thinks is best for him. But then there's the people around him, the Vances and the Millers and the rest of them, who are embarked on some sort of ideological mission. And, you know, the interesting stuff will happen when those two engines are in opposition to each other, which we saw happen with Elon Musk, but we haven't seen happen yet with Vance or Miller. But the question, I guess the sort of thing that's posed is, what do the people going along with this get? And when I say I worry about overcomplicating things, I wonder increasingly whether it is just the racism. Or the cruelty, the racism and the cruelty. That's the only thing you get. What are you watching? I'm watching a woman get shot in the face. What are you feeling? I quite like it, actually. I quite like it. I get a kick out of it. This must be how the Nazis succeeded, right? It's the cruelty and the racism go hand in hand. What else does Donald Trump offer to people pretending to see things they are not seeing in this footage? Apart from racism and cruelty, do we need to wake up as woolly liberals and start calling a spade a spade? Comfortable calling out the racism. Have we missed the cruelty? What else do you get out of this? I love the cruelty. I love it. Is it that simple? Lisa's in Southampton. Lisa, what would you like to say?
Hi. Obviously, I've been on your show before. I am fuming. Just a bit of background, how I feel about this is that my nephew and his brother and sister-in-law's nanny was snatched off the streets in Boston. She's a Mexican national with a U.S. work visa. They didn't even know where she was. She was in Mexico. They had to fly her back. She had no, she couldn't make a phone call. So personally.
So she had every right to be in America and they sent her back to Mexico.
They didn't even check.
They just stuck her on a plane.
They stuck her on a plane. Her parents live in Mexico. She called her mom and dad, said, I'm home because I've been deported. And then they called the U.S. Embassy. She got back to Boston to resume her duties.
So the people listening, even to this, I mean, it would be hard to separate the cruelty from the racism, but the people who are not outraged or upset or disgusted by this, what do they get out of it? What do they enjoy? The cruelty crossed with the racism.
Yeah, but actually polls have shown, though, James, that people, yes, there are racists, absolutely, but I think this could be a George Floyd moment because we have all seen that this young woman, who is an American citizen, who actually, surprisingly, she was white.
Yes.
So it doesn't, you know, and she's literally minding her own business and she was shot dead. And that is, to me, you can't spin that. And
well, she's not quite my, oh, I don't want to do the VAR. I mean, minding her own business. The car, we don't know how it got there, but it is in the midst of protest, isn't it? It is.
Well, yeah, but people are furious, James.
But it's parked in the middle of a street, and at the first opportunity to drive away, she tries to drive away, and she gets shot in the face for her trouble.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that there are people, I mean, you could just hear people. I was lucky when I was in America. I was hoping I would not see an ICE raid. Because I was in Los Angeles and I was in San Francisco, I didn't see one.
Right.
But I know friends that have seen them, and they said it almost draws you like a magnet because you want to help your fellow citizens.
Yeah.
And Minnesota are sick and tired of being scapegoated by this government. I mean, Tim Walz, they hate Tim Walz, obviously, you know that. But if Kristi Noem backs down on this, the whole house of cards falls down.
Why? Because that's an answer to the question I asked, isn't it? Why can't they tell the truth?
Because if they do, they are culpable for every single act ICE has performed that has been not just illegal without due process, but if actually there are people that have been put in jail, there are people with health conditions, that they will have, the lawsuits would be incredible. Because then there's a reason to hang your hat.
So it's impunity then. I mean, if they admit a single error, then the impunity begins to dissolve. And
well,
the officers who are acting
precedent.
In the knowledge that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And then even if they were convicted by a future administration, they'd get pardoned again when Trump's people got back in, which we've seen as a consequence of January the 6th. If they actually go after their, quotes, own people, end quotes, in any way, shape or form, then the whole structure starts to wobble.
But where you asked before, these are federal agents. So the federal agents, obviously, I don't know what Minnesota will have. There have to be, because California actually, there are certain states and Illinois that they can't go into now because there's a law, a court has got involved. So they are federal agents. So that does supersede state law, but there will be some lawsuits now. There will be, obviously, judges are already lining up to try to kick them out of Minnesota. Because we know what it is. We know why they're there. Because they believe that Somalis are taking over Minnesota.
Well, I mean, there's also the stuff about the frauds that were, I think the woman jailed for running it was white, but there's a preponderance of childcare facilities that were claiming COVID loans during the lockdowns that turned out to be fraudulent. But that was already under investigation. Convictions were already in place before some online goon turned up with a video camera demanding unfettered access to childcare facilities. And indeed, Vance has talked, I've got the clip, I think. Here is the racism, Lisa. Stay on the line if you would.
The Democrats have a little bit of a Somali problem. They've let it
America
go.
Has a bit of a Somali problem.
Especially the Democrats in Minnesota. Why'd they just let it happen right under their nose?
Well, a couple of things, Jesse. First of all, If you look at the amount of fraud in the welfare system, according to the statistics I've seen, 85% of Somalians who are in the United States, legal and illegal, are collecting some form of welfare benefits. So that's not to disparage the other 15%, but when you're in 85% of a population that is collecting welfare, that suggests that we have really done something wrong with regards to vetting, and that's the fundamental issue. Even if there's no fraud, 85% collecting welfare is way too many damn people collecting welfare, getting rich off the American taxpayer while a lot of Americans struggle.
So even if there is no fraud, we should be going after these people. They send in ICE against, in the context of these investigations, these already investigated and established allegations. And as a consequence of that, this woman gets shot in the face.
As you said, you talked about racism. It's dehumanizing the whole communities. And this is exactly, I mean, I taught history for many years. This is exactly what Hitler did. He dehumanized the Jews. People thought of them as less than themselves. And I think America, this is a big wake-up call, because America is scared. There are a lot of Americans that don't like the fact that we have immigration and that we have a country that was built on immigrants. In fact, all of them are immigrants except for the Native Americans. And it just makes me, as an American, I'm ashamed. I'm not going back. I'm not going back until he's gone. I can't. My daughter-in-law is Southeast Asian. My other daughter-in-law is Eastern European. They won't set foot in America because they're afraid of being questioned.
And I mean, it's probably underreported. I don't know what it's like in the States, but the number of people who experienced what you're... your family's nanny experience, just getting rounded up off the streets without due process, without proper investigation, and being punished. Just deportation is obviously a punishment, despite not being guilty of any crimes, imagined or real. And as a consequence of this environment, Renee Nicole Good is dead, shot in the face in her car, and being lied about already by the President of the United States of America, who's already accused her of violently, willfully, and viciously running over the ICE officer. Some of the goons, some of the people lining up alongside him, don't even have the intelligence to understand the words that he's actually said. He's claiming that she ran him over. And the defenders that some of them I inherited from Nick's show on the text, so I've got one or two of my own, they're claiming they were frightened of being run over. So you haven't even got the intelligence to process the lies that you're supposed to be parroting. Trump isn't claiming that they acted in self-defense because they were worried about being run over. He's claiming that the guy was run over and hospitalized and is lucky to be alive. So you've got to get your lies straight, lads. I'm not going to read you the actual texts that support the false version of events. I'm going to read you the last text they sent to LBC so you get the kind of idea of the kind of person who is today coming out to bat for the cruelty, the racism and the lies. So here's one. Can the Americans, this was sent earlier this week, can the Americans please come and kidnap Keir Starmer and put a prime minister with some balls in place, please? So that's who you're talking to. That's who Trump appeals to. Fascists and traitors who love racism and cruelty.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
I'm not the protesting type, folks, but I think this is so serious, and for an institution that is genuinely very important and beloved of this nation, and the damage that is being done to it is totally unnecessary and over the top. What they are planning on doing with this business rate revaluation is an absolute catastrophe.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
The customer service was really good.
The people are friendly on the telephone. You can always get a problem solved.
Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Early bird offers end Sunday in the biggest Furniture Village sale of the year. Save even more on sofas, dining, beds and bedroom furniture. And that's on top of sale prices. Hey, But hurry, early bird offers end this Sunday at Furniture Village, a world-class family business.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
At Lidl, we value getting you the most out of your money. Like switching from Tesco to Lidl and saving £31 on this week's big shop. See the savings at lidl.co.uk/save and start the new year feeling like a savvy saver. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 5th of the 1st, 26. Tesco also sell other products. See online for more details.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one, in black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
The following is from TFL.
My name was Luna, like the moon. I was 2 days short of my 17th birthday when I was killed. My killer wasn't a bad man. He had a rescue dog called Frank and rang his mum every Sunday. He wasn't a speed freak. He just thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit. But that was enough to knock me off my bike and kill me.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It is 10 minutes to 11. I'll read you this from Andy. We're resisting the urge. Urge? Temptation? I mean, it's not that hard to resist, of turning this into some sort of glorified VAR discussion, because, I mean, there is no debate about what happened. Donald Trump's claims are obviously untrue, but that, unfortunately, is more often the case than not these days. His supporters have to come out and support the lies. The question I'm asking is, why can't they tell the truth about this? Why do they have to lie about this? I'm going to read you this. Andy contacts the program quite a lot, from the perspective of being a retired police officer. It's sometimes worth checking these things. I've served my community, James. I've worn the blue. I've been at close quarters when someone failed to stop a vehicle. I've been assaulted. I've been driven at. I've had the reasonable use of force and justification drilled into me on an almost daily basis for 30 years. I've watched the footage from the Minnesota shooting numerous times, and I cannot fail to reach the conclusion that 37-year-old mother of one, Renee Nicole Good, was murdered. We now live in a world where an unarmed young woman can be shot in the face in broad daylight by an agent of the state, and the leader of the free world immediately dismisses it, twisting what is visible for all to see with their own eyes. This is another disgraceful episode in a long list on the slide into madness, a stain on the conscience of those who continue to support Trump and his goons. That's from Andy in Suffolk. I kind of find that fascinating, but I worry it's a bit disrespectful, perhaps, of Nicole's memory to wonder about the goons today, to wonder about the people. Because why can't you just say, I really like Donald Trump and I agree with him about immigration, but obviously this is wrong? Why can't you just do that? Why? I mean, Venezuela was similar. Greenland even more so. I love Trump. I love, oh, he's upsetting all the right people. I don't care about the self-confessed sexual offending. I don't care about the libel case he lost against the woman who accused him of rape. I don't care about abusing the disabled. I don't care about the racism. I love all of that. But you can't go around shooting innocent people in the face and having the president lie about it. Why can't people do that? Why? I mean, maybe you can. Maybe you are the Donald Trump fan who sees that he's lying here. Is it like a thread? If you call him out for one lie, everything else falls apart, and the racism and the cruelty that sustain your support for him are left utterly uncamouflaged. That's it, isn't it? So you aren't yet ready to say, what I really like about him is racism and cruelty. I really like racism and cruelty. You're pretending that Haitians eat cats and dogs. You're pretending that all people from Somalia are suspect or wrong or degenerate, to use the sort of Nazi language that they constantly flirt with. You can pretend that you're really concerned about immigration. You've got legitimate concerns. To pretend to believe that there's such a thing as Antifa, as a terrorist organization, or a radical left, which apparently looks a bit like Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris. So you can't quite go there yet. You can't quite say, I love cruelty and I love racism. But you can say, I love Trump. And that means if you call him out for one lie, you call him out for all of them. That's it, isn't it? Sadly, we live in a country where people who are in that camp are senior politicians and some of the most prominent media voices in the country. They love the racism and the cruelty, but they can't quite say so, although they're edging ever closer. They can't quite say so, so instead they have to pretend to believe Trump's lies, because the truth is even more hideous. Dorothy's in Biddeford. Dorothy, what would you like to say?
Good morning, James.
Hello, Dorothy.
This is so awful. I was listening yesterday and I started to feel a little bit of hope compared to what other people were saying, because I noticed, it's all anecdotal, of course, but I noticed on social media, my friends and family back in the States, some who did vote for and support Trump, were starting a little bit to not say so much out loud, but maybe liking a post that was critical.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point. I can't believe that everybody who voted for him last year is in thrall to racism and cruelty. There's a danger of the loudest voices, online and offline, in support of Trump, must love the racism and cruelty. But a lot of people voted for him because the price of gas was so high. They're the ones that perhaps we should focus on more.
Yeah, but then there's still some that, you know, I make the joke where he could have tell them to hold out their hands, he'd do a poo in their hands and tell them to clap and they wouldn't ask for more.
Yeah, that's true.
And there were some that were still doing that after Venezuela, but they've all of now everything is crickets about what's happened in Minneapolis. Nobody's posting anything, nobody's saying anything, his supporters, I mean. And I was thinking about your question about why they can't seem to criticize or to condemn what's happened in Minneapolis, and talking about the likes of Noom, etc. And I think it's really basic. I think it's self-interest, because these people who are in these positions of power now, like Hegseth and Noom and Miller, for most of their lives, they were the inadequates. They were the losers in life. And now is their time to shine. They have the power now, and they can use that power to exercise that cruelty. You know, they're getting their revenge. You know, they're at the top of the heap.
There is no loyalty like the loyalty of the over-promoted inadequate.
The bitter and twisted
over-promoted inadequate will be the most loyal lieutenant you could ever have.
Exactly. And it's just, it's not that if they did, they'd lose their jobs. And, you know, what other administration would they ever have any of this kind of power?
So there's two questions then, and you've brilliantly addressed both of them. I mean, obviously the people on the payroll have to follow whatever lie the boss man tells.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, perhaps things are a little better than we realised. And, that, albeit that Nick took a couple of calls from some deeply, deeply twisted men, and I've had one or two texts from similar characters today, It is much harder to watch that footage and believe or pretend to believe Donald Trump's lies than it is to believe almost all of his previous lies. You think that this might be a Rubicon that many people can't actually cross.
It might be, because I was telling a producer, you know, she's probably too young to know the song, but I'm 57, the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, the Ohio.
Mm.
Neil Young, about the shootings, the National Guard shooting of the Kent State students who were protesting the war.
Yes.
And they killed four students. And that was also kind of a pivotal point.
Because it's a state-sanctioned action. That's the difference. Yeah. So Charlottesville sprang to my mind this morning.
Citizen.
That poor woman was killed in Charlottesville by the white supremacist, and Donald Trump came out and said there were good people on both sides. I heard an echo of that this morning, but it wasn't actually a government agent that was driving that car.
And the thing that could, with some people, is it shouldn't matter, but because this is a white woman and a U.S. citizen, and it's on tape, it's on video, and it's stake, like you said, it was a federal agent.
Why does Trump have to lie about it? Why can't Trump come out and say, They're doing a great job, but you know, every organization may have one or two bad apples, and we're going to get this guy and we're going to sit him down and we're going to find out exactly why can't Trump come out and admit the reality that everybody else can see?
Do narcissists like to admit they're wrong?
And he would somehow be on the hook for these actions because he allies himself so completely with the ICE agents and their deployment in cities where the residents and the governments don't want them.
Well, right, and I agree with the caller from the other day who said that he's not even. Sometimes I wonder if he knows what day it is. I think he's rolled out there to be the golden idol, the golden calf that people worship, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's not running anything.
And they're just saying here, hey, we've got these golden telephones, we've got this big load of oil, we've got all these minerals that, hey, we're just going to carry on doing this. But he does like the cruelty and the racism. He always has. But maybe that is the danger of overthinking things. It's just about the cruelty and the racism. And if he admits to either, then everything else falls apart, both for him and for his supporters. There's a great line here from Greg, which I'll share with you after the headlines, just reminding us not to be too smug on this side of the Atlantic. The British alliance between media and government has not exactly covered itself in glory when it comes to extrajudicial killings or murders on British soil in the past, on UK soil in the past. I'll share that with you shortly, and we'll probably continue with this and maybe move it along to the psychology of the people who are forced today to pretend they can't see what they can see.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the FBI has confirmed it's investigating after a US immigration agent shot and killed a woman in Minneapolis. The Trump administration says it was an act of self-defense, but local officials have rejected the claim. It follows months of tensions over Donald Trump's nationwide crackdown on illegal immigration using ICE agents. Former member of the US Secret Service, Barry DiNardio, has told LBC the officer didn't have a choice.
She tried to ram a police officer. At the end of the day, none of your viewers would do that. I wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. So remove the politics, see what the physical evidence is. And that's unfortunately what happened. Now, that's not what any of us wanted to happen. Certainly not that officer. He didn't wake up that day and say, hey, you know, I want to shoot some woman today. I highly doubt that's what he wanted.
You can read more on this story at lbc.co.uk. The Cabinet Minister Pat McFadden says the United States remains a reliable ally to Britain. Sir Keir Starmer is said to have set out his position on Greenland during a phone call with President Trump last night. Mr. Trump has alarmed allies in recent days after saying that he wants to take over the semi-autonomous Danish territory. Speaking to LBC, Mr. McFadden said dialogue remains open.
The United States has already got a base on Greenland. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is meeting with the Danish government next week. We welcome that dialogue. That is by far the best way to discuss these things. And I think we have a shared interest in security in the High North. And don't forget here, Denmark's a member of NATO. Mm. It's a member of the same club.
The number of people in hospital with flu in England has risen slightly after falling for 2 weeks in a row. NHS figures show 2,924 patients were treated every day during the week to Sunday just gone. That's an increase of 9% on the week before. Large parts of the UK are bracing themselves for the arrival of Storm Goretti. It's forecast to bring heavy snowfall and strong winds to parts of Wales and most of England later tonight. Up to a foot of snow could fall in the Midlands, while gusts of 90 miles per hour are expected in the southwest of England. And the former Leeds United and Wales midfielder Terry Yarrath has died at the age of 75 following a short illness. He played for several clubs during his career, including Coventry City, Tottenham Hotspur and Bradford City. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 27 at 10,020. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather, snow showers will continue across Scotland throughout today. The south will become wet and windy after a dry morning. Rain will also turn to snow in Wales and central England by tonight, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Okay, time for a proper breather. This new year, get 15% off when you book two consecutive nights or more at Premier Inn. Visit the family, then escape them. Back to a luxury bed instead of your auntie's sofa. Or head off on a city break that feels like a real break with checkout at midday. Start the new year with Premier Inn. Get better sleep for your money. Book by 12th of Jan for stays between 29th of Jan and 30th of April. Standard rate rooms, UK only. Exclude Central London. Terms apply. See premierinn.com.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 11. Remember, I'm a listener to LBC as well as a presenter, and that voice you just heard in the news bulletin there, Barry Donadio, describes himself on Twitter as a celebrity author. I've never heard of him before, but I'm just having a little look at his history on social media, and I'll read it to you, shall I? Barry Donadio backs Trump live on the Talk of Delmarva with Bill Reddish on January the 1st, 2026. Barry Donadio says Colombia and Mexico are on notice after military strikes in Venezuela, live on a TV station I've never heard of. Barry Donadio defends the action of the Trump administration in regard to the military strikes in Venezuela, again, live on a TV station I've never heard of. Barry Donadio defends Trump's military strikes in Venezuela. Barry Donadio live defending Israel. That was at the end of December. I don't know what he was defending. Barry Donadio live on Wake Up America Newsmax, which is the station of choice, I believe, for people who find Fox News a bit too lily-livered and snowflakey, praising President Trump for his military strikes against ISIS in Nigeria. It's not safe to be a terrorist, thanks to President Trump, unless, of course, you're in an ICE uniform, said Barry Donadio while appearing on Wake Up America Newsmax. Barry Donadio appeared on TRT TV, weren't no me neither, predicting the fall of the Iranian regime and the reinstatement of the exiled prince of Iran. On it goes. So that's just in case you're wondering who on earth that was contributing to public discourse on this programme. Now you know. And that thing I said at the beginning of the show about needing to look at this through a lens that is not distorted by slavish devotion or sycophantic admiration of Donald Trump or love for the racism and the cruelty that he offers up to his supporters could not have been proved more clearly than in that little contribution to our news bulletin. Yoni is in Rochester. Yoni, what made you pick up the phone?
I hate to say it, but it was almost to let you know that you're going for a non-story. You've kind of answered the question already, and many of the callers who called in have made the points I was going to make.
It's not a non-story, Yoni. A woman's been shot in the face.
Not a non-story, a non-question.
In broad daylight. Oh, I see what you mean. You mean it's a no-brainer?
No. Yeah.
Okay, well, I disagree. I disagree, otherwise I wouldn't still be asking it. But tell me why you think... Well, okay, let's move it on to the second bit then, which is why would supporters of Donald Trump have to join this lie? Why can't they call out this one lie while still pretending to believe or genuinely believing all the others?
Because look what they've supported. If you've supported Donald Trump from the very beginning, when people like yourself were saying, look at what he has said, look at what he has done, then they have to admit that they were okay with it from the beginning.
And all of
that,
it.
Not only they... Yeah, basically. I mean, this is a guy who boasted about assaulting women. I mean, this was before he became president.
I'm going to read you something, and it could be... Well, actually, I just need to wait for Eleanor to have a little look at it first, because it could be a hoax, and I'm going to check the history of the messages. I don't think it is a hoax, but I'm going to read it to you, because it's a little glimmer of hope that your analysis might at least be susceptible to criticism, as a if not necessarily completely wrong. But it's all or nothing, is it? It is literally... I'm behind every... So you wonder why Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail had to be calling for Keir Starmer to break international law on my... Because the alternative is to say, oh boy, all of those people who were describing Donald Trump accurately were completely right, and I've ended up being a cheerleader for a self-confessed sex offender, a breaker of international law, and now someone who's lying about the murder of an innocent woman on the streets of the United States.
Basically.
I wonder. I mean, the problem is you're doing it from the outside, not the inside. We don't know what goes on in the minds of these people.
True. I really hope that I'm wrong. This is one of the times when I really hope that I am completely 100% erroneous in saying this is something that they have to do because the alternative just rocks their worldview too greatly.
And well, welcome to my world. If you're hoping that you're wrong, I'll read you that message in a moment from somebody who claims to represent the polar opposite of what you describe. 8 minutes after 11 is the time. I mean, it's a bit of a red rag to a bull to a journalist to describe what they're discussing as a non-story or even an alleged journalist. But I take his point. The idea that it's a no-brainer. It's actually really obvious what is going on. And yet it doesn't feel that obvious, does it? Because it's not just hicks and rednecks or whatever the correct phrase would be for people who kind of shoot first and ask questions later, not unlike this ICE agent. You have people who are prominent, who are successful, who are respected, who are high status individuals on both sides of the Atlantic that go along with much of what Donald Trump does. Does the same analysis apply to them? Do they also have to go along with all of it? Because to concede one crime against morality is to concede all of them? I don't know. Francis is in Saltburn-by-the-Sea. Francis, what would you like to say?
Hi, sorry, I'm a first-time caller of any radio show, so...
Welcome. You sound a little bit surprised to find yourself in this space, Frances.
I'm a wee bit surprised, yeah. I was telling the person that answered the phone that I'm originally from London, but I moved to the States like 40 years ago and moved back here in December to Yorkshire. And I was just looking at the news this morning and... social media, and I was actually from St. Louis, Missouri, was where I lived, which is a very Republican state. And I was just looking at the comments from people on the news stations there, and it just infuriated me. It was sickening.
Because they're Trump fans, and they see what they want to see.
Yeah, they can't deny the lie. Yeah, I mean, they can't deny. It's just, it just blew me away. I thought at least there'd be some sort of common sense or some sort of...
He could claim black was white, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he could literally claim that what they are looking at is not real. This thing that you can see... And you read about this in the context of Nazism, in the context of Stalinism, in the context of North Korea. You read about this and you think, I wouldn't fall for that. I mean, that wouldn't happen... on my street, that wouldn't happen in my world or my country. But that's the point. It's a human condition. It's not an ethnic condition or even a historically specific condition. It's a human condition, this susceptibility. And it is in full play now in the United States of America.
Yeah, it's a cult. I mean, they've bought into it and they're continuing to buy into it. I've noticed that some people have quietened down a bit.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
They'll be back, won't they? I mean, because the alternative is a complete repudiation of what we've spent the best part of a decade furiously arguing about. Light versus dark, truth versus lies, facts versus alternative facts. Trump derangement syndrome was a phrase that I heard used until relatively recently to describe people literally telling the obvious and inarguable truth.
And I just saw that the person that came up with that and was trying to get the law to prosecute people for that was just arrested for abusing a child.
Why? Which one was
not abusing a child? He was actually went to go meet a 17-year-old that he met online.
Oh,
and
I see.
Turned out to be a police sting.
Yeah, it's extraordinary how often that happens, isn't it? The Protect Our Women Brigade are currently silent about the fact that Elon Musk has turned what used to be Twitter into a factory for child sex abuse imagery. A criminal child, well, it's all criminal, of course, but they seem to be relatively silent about that, and their hero, Elon Musk, is supremely comfortable with it, as we heard yesterday. In fact, one wonders where the Protect Our Women people are today, when one of them is shot in the face on the streets of her home city for the crime of, well, I don't know, being in a car and moving perilously, snail's pace slowly, away from officers who she is clearly terrified of. Thank you, Francis. This is the message from Carl that I was teasing Yoni with earlier, and I got no reason not to take it in good faith. His previous messages to the station were very much pro-Trump. They seem to perhaps a little exaggerated or dramatic, and maybe this is as well. But it's an interesting contribution. And you know that I ended last year obsessed by the history function on my texts that I only recently discovered, because it tells you so much about the good faith or otherwise of the messages that are coming in to the studio. Good morning, James. Can I kindly request to leave Idiot's Corner, having previously been sent there by yourself? I don't know if I've dropped into a parallel universe at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve, but I find myself agreeing with you in pretty much everything you say with all that's happened in 2026 so far. As someone who was a mild supporter of the Donald and was dismissive of the threats that he and Farage posed to this country and our allies, I now find myself extremely worried about the future for our planet, where common decency and law and order mean nothing, and where the biggest, the strongest, and those who can intimidate take what they want. Scary times. It's taken me almost 40 years, but I'm seeing the world in a different way in 2026. Carl, long, indeed, if you are being completely honest with me, long may it continue. But the question remains, in part, because the big question today is about what happened to this poor woman and why the President of the United States of America has to lie about it. Maybe going harder on that, because of course the people on the payroll have to lie about it, because he is. Why does he have to lie about this? Why can't he come out and say, I love ICE, I love what they're doing, but no institution is perfect, and we must investigate fully what has happened to this man. He is already lying before the poor woman has even been buried. He's lying about her and about what happened to her, and crucially about what you and I can see. It's 11:15.
This is LBC.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Oh, actually, this is very relaxed.
George's up the river cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thameslink Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Quick question. Well, actually three. But they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It is 16 minutes after 11. This from Greg. British media reporting a bloody Sunday in Derry in 1972. Opposing statements by the British Army and the Irish Catholic civil and political leaders in Derry. But who did the majority of British people believe? The propaganda framework is all, no matter how ridiculous or incredulous. And that, of course, is underpins a large part of the conversation that we're having today. Because it might not be, when you ask the question of why Trump has to lie about this, or why Trump is lying about this. Even if some versions of events change according to camera angles, the claim that the guy was run over and lucky to be alive is just obviously and patently untrue. But car drove over his toe or something like that, it doesn't change the fact that Trump is claiming this sort of mortal peril. And if someone's screaming at you from the left, you're looking to the left, right? And you're trying, anyway, we're not doing VAR. And I really wish everybody else would resist the temptation to do so. But the idea that Trump has to lie because of what's gone in the past, of course, runs fairly quickly into the question of what comes in the future. the idea that this sends a message to all ICE agents about what they can and can't do in the pursuit of their duties, their so-called duties. Impunity. So you know that the January the 6th insurrectionists were afforded retrospective impunity. No matter how hideous their crimes, they received retrospective impunity. They were pardoned, just like the former president of Honduras, who was serving 45 years for trafficking cocaine. He got pardoned shortly before Nicolas Maduro was abducted by Donald Trump as a consequence, allegedly, of him in being involved in the trafficking of cocaine, although they're not talking about the drugs. And it started off with fentanyl. It's fentanyl when they were killing people in boats with no evidence. And then it was cocaine when they were abducting the president. And they've shut up about fentanyl and cocaine, and now it's all about oil. So, I mean, the truth hasn't mattered for ages in the context of this story, and arguably never did. But what does this do moving forward? It tells all of these weird men who've signed up to be ICE agents that they can do what they want and kill what they want, and the president will come out and lie on their behalf. So why is he doing it? Maybe is an easy question to answer, although not necessarily the no-brainer that we thought it might be at the top of the hour. 19 minutes after 11 is the time. And then it all hinges on what the media does next. You know, what does the media do next? And Simon Marks will join us in about 10 minutes from Washington, D.C. to talk us through what is happening on the ground in the States as we speak. Chris is in Bristol to steer us back to our conversation. Chris, what would you like to say?
Hiya, James. First of all, I did 4 years as a police officer, and I watched that video last night, and that to me was a straight-up murder. There was no de-escalation, conflicting instructions. I've even seen somebody say, why did the car carry on driving after he fired the shots?
Dead people are notoriously good at steering vehicles.
Exactly. And I've been sort of visiting the States on and off for 20 years. I haven't been back for the last 8 years. The last entry experience was so unpleasant. I just haven't been back. But and I've had friends who have drifted towards, you know, Trumpian politics, and I've lost a lot of friends. And without exception, every single one of them bought wholesale into his package. And it's a cult, like your previous caller said, it is a cult. And I think the reason nobody will stand out and speak up is because he demands complete and utter fealty. And he wants everyone to take the whole package. If you criticize one part of what he's offering, he will not only banish you, but he will start a pylon.
Yeah.
No
matter how close you were to him, there's no such thing as being close to him, is there?
No. You're close as far as you can offer him something. You know, he is like Regina George in Mean Girls.
You've lost me there with that cultural reference.
I'm not that much younger than you, but he will just burn you. And he will encourage others to do the same. And if you look at celebrities and politicians, he will encourage people to turn round. And, you know, it's no coincidence that people will start getting death threats once he's you know.
That's very true. The Charlie Kirk story was an illustration of how that can go. And the Free Speech Brigade were calling for people to be fired for actually repeating words that Charlie Kirk had said while he was alive. And it worked in one case.
Although the people that hate cancel culture.
Yes, exactly that. What happens then? I mean, the Orwell and Godwin's law are the two things that we possibly cite too often. Godwin's law is the idea that every online argument eventually descends into a comparison to Hitler. One person will eventually compare the other person to Hitler if they're having an argument online. But the guy who came up with it, Godwin himself, he said during the first campaign of Donald Trump's presidency that with regard to Donald Trump, you could absolutely reach for the Nazi analogies as quickly and as enthusiastically as you wanted to. So, I mean, in the spirit of Mike Godwin, what happens to the people we're talking about? What happened in 1946, 1947 in Germany? They didn't suddenly stop being Nazis or Nazi sympathizers. They just realized they had to go back into, back into obscure. They had to just keep quiet about their love for cruelty and racism again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's emboldened a lot of people. I have a friend who was what I would have called a Bush-era Republican.
Okay.
He bought wholesale into the whole Trump thing. Him and his family left what they called California.
Right.
And moved to what has been referred to by many people as a sundown town in Alabama. They've still got an active Klan chapter down there.
Okay. But that can't be half of the country, can it?
No. But he feels safe there and he feels emboldened.
So the question is about the people that we were reminded of earlier, the people who are who voted for cheaper petrol, who voted because of the economy, stupid. And that must be millions and millions of people, right?
Yeah.
What do they do now? The personal approval ratings have gone below they ever were for Joe Biden, but yeah. There's still, people go, God, it's awful for him. Look at the percentages. I'm the opposite. Yeah. I go, crikey, I can't believe there's still so much support for him. So that's the key question. It's not the people who are sympathetic to the Ku Klux Klan that we're really talking about, because their passion and enthusiasm for cruelty and racism is part of their makeup. But for everybody else, at what point do they become sufficiently repulsed? And we go back to the beginning of this program and the suggestion that this could be a bit of a George Floyd moment. This could be one of the things that people cannot tolerate or cannot overlook or cannot forgive.
I honestly don't know, because, I've said for a long time, it's going to end up with ICE shooting someone and killing them, and they're going to be a US citizen. And I thought that would be a line people would not cross, and they'd say, right, that's it, that's enough. But they're cheering it on.
Well, it depends what we mean by we and they. I think it's a little early to call that. I think maybe this will turn out to be something with which a surprising number of people, or at least surprising to the administration, number of people will not put up with, because you have that. I mean, remember that if the camera phone hadn't been there when George Floyd was murdered, that the official version of events would have prevailed. And here you've got an evolution of that moment where the official, in quotes, version of events is so completely at odds with what everybody can see. But because the official version of events isn't just coming from local police chiefs, it's coming from the very top of the political pyramid. The question of whether or not it will fail as the, just a few blocks away, actually, the attempts to lie about what had happened to George Floyd failed because of footage becomes even more pertinent, doesn't it? It's not guaranteed that it will fail. You, I think, fear that it won't fail, this attempt to rewrite the observable evidence. I'm going to go 52-48 on that it still might, because I love that ratio. I'm going to go on the idea that it still might. Thank you, Chris. I don't know if being a former police officer gives you I think it does give you a bigger insight into this than the rest of us would have. But remember that UK policing is incredibly different from American policing, and that this character isn't a police officer by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not entirely sure what the entry criteria are for being an ICE agent, but I would be incredibly surprised if involvement in the January the 6th insurrection was in any way a bar to joining ICE. In fact, I wouldn't be absolutely gobsmacked if the man responsible for shooting Nicole turned out to have been an insurrectionist or at least supportive of the actions of January. I mean, who else would join ICE? Could you join ICE knowing that Donald Trump lied about losing the last election? Or would you have to believe that he did actually win it and had it stolen in order to join what some people have described as his Gestapo? Barry's in Newton Le Willows. Barry, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Nice to speak to you. It's Barry. I'm not one of those celebrity authors, but I am I am a woke liberal lefty that calls your show. And I'm also FTC LTL, by the way.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, come on, James. First-time caller.
Oh, long-time listener. Oh, Lordy, he's come up with an acronym. You're very welcome. Better late than never, Barry. What's going on here with this story?
Yeah, so I said to, I don't know the lady's name, but Helena. Your colleague.
Yes.
House of, basically, it's the emperor's new clothes. Basically, if the, somebody starts, they didn't want to see that he was naked. So if they see that now, they can't backtrack and say, well, he did this, he did that. If they start to question it, everything is open. They know that he's lied about everything that he's, done so far in the past and now. You know what I mean? So that was my analogy of it.
If we take the clothes, if you like, of cruelty and racism, rather than just him believing that he's wearing beautiful clothes, if you start admitting any of the cruelty and racism that informs every aspect of this administration, or at least of this character, Trump, and his appeal, then it all gets exposed as being, because it's the only way any of it makes sense, and yet the people, the half of the population that love it, can't admit what it is that they love.
Exactly, because then now they'll see that he is actually naked and not wearing beautiful clothes because of that, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they put a chink in his armour, they start looking deep into it, and they won't like what, well, I was going to say they won't like what they'll find, but I think they might like what they'll find, but won't like to admit they like what they've seen, basically.
And then, of course, the midterms move into focus even more clearly, don't they? And the question of creating an air of almost sort of imminent civil war or borderline civil disobedience on the streets, sending people into areas where they, ICE agents into areas where they are not wanted, either by the residents or by the local politicians, by the local governments, by the state legislatures. They're not wanted there, but Trump sends them in and foments discontent, foments violence, and in this case, quite possibly murder, and uses that as a rationale for not being able to have an election, not being able to hold midterms this year because everything is so fractious and so fragile. A theory that I was introduced to by Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, who will be joining me after the news headlines to talk us through what is going on the ground in the United States. And if you haven't clocked this already, and I'm sure you have, Barry, a sparkling debut, by the way, but if you haven't clocked this already, and I'm sure that you have, I mean, if there is any mystery at all as to why he needs to control the media, why he needs to remove people prepared to speak truth to power from his orbit, why he has to confine his contributions to people who will ask Volodymyr Zelensky about why he's not wearing a suit, or people who will sit in the Oval Office and interview him with questions such as, on a scale of 1 to 10, how wonderful do you think you are? Or would you agree that you're like a daddy to the whole of the United States of America? Simon Marks is at 11:45, forgive me. So we'll take some more calls after 11:30 and we will hear from Simon just after 11:45. But if you didn't understand why he has to control the media, it is for moments like this. Here is some footage of something happening. Here is the President of the United States describing something completely different. Having watched that footage, here is the media. What do they do? And the well-meaning ones, the well-meaning wrong ones, might have a debate about what they can see. The evil ones will fully support what Donald Trump has said. The big question is, how many people will be in the third camp? Those who will describe what everyone can see without fear or favour. Here's Dominic Ellis with the headlines.
A vigil has been held in Minneapolis to protest against the death of a woman who was shot and killed by a US immigration agent. Officials in Washington say Renee Good tried to run over officers after trying to stop her car, but local authorities have rejected that claim, calling it state-sanctioned violence. The number of people in hospital in England with flu has risen slightly, having previously fallen for 2 weeks in a row. An average of 2,924 patients were in hospital each day during the week ending the January of 4th. And large parts of the UK are bracing themselves for the arrival of Storm Goretti. It's forecast to bring heavy snowfall and strong winds to parts of Wales and most of England later tonight. LBC weather, snow showers will continue today across Scotland as Storm Goretti moves in. Wet and windy for southern England, dry elsewhere. A high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature, biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website, and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern.
Private healthcare sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per person per month.
Just for GP calls.
For a 24/7 GP helpline, physio, diagnostics and more. Now, tell me.
All about my medical history.
No, no medical questionnaires or hidden charges. We like to call it
healthcare done different.
Spot on. Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. 6-month wait for some services. T&Cs apply. Selected surgical procedures after 6 months. 24 in Northern Ireland. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Hiya, Kenny the Hamster here, beloved pet of Doug and Carol Brookbank. Now, I got to hand it to Doug and Kazza. They're doing school pickups, jobs, trips to the supermarket, and still find time to get healthy. Apparently, it's down to some NHS Healthy Choices quiz. Only took them 5 minutes to do, then gave them a simple plan to get started.
Come on, kids.
Total amazeballs.
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices Quiz to get a score and a plan that's right for you.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 11:33 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I'm going to talk about Dunning-Kruger, if I may, on a slightly lighter note. We missed the anniversary on January the 6th, but when we spend arguably a little bit too much time exploring the psychology of people that we can't understand, we overlook Dunning-Kruger. We talked earlier about the loyalty of the bitter, over-promoted inadequate. Have a look at the circle around Donald Trump. It's like a little sort of collection of Himmlers. The bitter, the person who is defined by bitterness and a lifelong inadequate suddenly being over-promoted is going to be so loyal to you. So you look at Hegseth, and you look at Kennedy, and you look at Noom, and the various other people who've been director of White House communications, and you realize that these are the living embodiment of that theory, that the over-promoted, hideously inadequate, deeply embittered individuals who get given big gigs by this man and therefore will be incredibly loyal to him. That the people who got their jobs by dint of their own talents and intelligence managed to hang on for a while in the first administration, Fiona Hill being a brilliant example. But as she explained to the impeachment, a congressional committee on impeachment in 2019, Russia was already offering Trump a deal where Venezuela and Ukraine became like swapsies 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So any mysteries about what happened at the weekend that remain are probably solved by that memory from one of the people who got the job by dint of being brilliant. There's nobody in Trump's administration now who is there by dint of being brilliant. Look how he fell out with people from the first administration. The ones who had their jobs on merit were the ones that he fell out with first and fastest, weren't they? The ones who got their job, I hadn't clocked that before. The ones who got their jobs on merit, these people he's plucked from absolute obscurity or from deeply weird political movements, they're the ones that surround him now, and they have the loyalty of the deeply embittered, lifelong inadequate. But how do these people end up thinking that they're up to the job? And this is where Dunning-Kruger comes in. It's something we've talked about a lot on the program, but for reasons I can't quite explain, we've never dug into what exactly it is or where exactly it comes from. You know that it is, we used to think about it a lot in the context of people like Priti Patel or Jacob Rees-Mogg or all of them really, kind of Marc Francois, hard man of Brexit Steve Baker, most Brexiters in fact, who were suddenly sort of turned into prominent figures in this country despite being pretty obviously stupid and almost, well, and we now know completely wrong about almost everything. So the Dunning-Kruger effect describes people who are too stupid to understand how stupid they are. Now, where does that come from? And the story is magnificent. And it was the anniversary on January the 6th of this year. You can understand why it got overlooked, given that it was also the anniversary of that attempted insurrection incited by Donald Trump. But it was on January the 6th of 1995 that the Dunning-Kruger effect was born, when two men called MacArthur Wheeler and Clifton Earl Johnson robbed two banks in Greater Pittsburgh at gunpoint without having made any attempt to disguise themselves. Right? So, inevitably, the Pittsburgh equivalent of Police 5 with Shaw Taylor or Crime Watch put out images of these two men who'd robbed banks without at gunpoint without having made any attempt to describe to disguise themselves, and they were very, very quickly arrested. They were very quickly brought in by the police, at which point the leader of the pack, MacArthur Wheeler, stated that he couldn't believe he'd been arrested because he had, in his own words, smeared his face with lemon juice. He said, I had the lemon juice on. I can't believe you've arrested me. I had the lemon juice on. And as the longer they spoke to him, the more they realised. But I wore the lemon juice. I wore the lemon juice, he said, because he had convinced himself and his accomplice that covering your face in lemon juice would render you invisible to the CCTV cameras. Do you remember when we used lemon juice as invisible ink when we were kids? Did you do that? You can write in lemon juice on a piece of paper and then hold it up to a light, and then you can see the words emerge from the blank piece of paper, the apparently blank piece of paper. Well, these two guys covered themselves in lemon juice and thought that it would function like invisible ink and render them invisible to the security cameras. And there was a guy watching this, David Dunning, a professor of social psychology at Cornell University, who was watching this story unfold, indeed reading it in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And he wondered to himself, if Wheeler was too stupid to be a bank robber, perhaps he was also too stupid to know that he was too stupid to be a bank robber. That is, and this is a brilliant line, his stupidity protected him from his own stupidity. Along with his graduate student Justin Kruger, he then organised a research programme to look into whether someone's perceived competence could be measured against their actual competence. So the Dunning-Kruger effect was born because their research was fruitful, and unskilled and unaware of it. The 1999 paper in which they explained all of this had the subtitle, How Difficulties in Recognising One's Own Incompetence Lead to Inflated Self-Assessments. And that is the world of Donald Trump. People who are too stupid to realise that they're too stupid to do the jobs that they think that they are doing. It's a slightly lighter note, given the conversation that we're having. And the levity will continue at 12 noon today when we mercifully sink into the soothing, bubbly water of Mystery Hour. But for now, we return to the hideous, hideous events in Minneapolis yesterday. Other elements of the story that you may be aware of, or you may not, include claims that medical professionals were prevented from getting to the victim of the shooting, Nicole, that the eyewitness is now sharing their horror at what they witnessed. One neighbor in the area saying, I've never seen someone die in front of my house before. It will change me forever. She said she's never been involved in activities to warn or protest the Federal Immigration Agency. But when she walked out onto her porch and saw six or seven ICE vehicles and a protester who had parked perpendicular to traffic, one of them telling the driver to get out of here. And then they went up to her car and started trying to open the door. So you've got one of them shouting, get out of here. So she reversed a little bit and then angled her wheel so she could drive away. And as she was trying to move forward, one of the ICE agents stepped in front of her vehicle and reached across the hood and fired his weapon about three or four times and shot her in the face. So the eyewitness accounts will follow the footage and the president will continue lying. Why? Brian's in Lytham St. Anne's. Brian, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. ISIS is basically his private army now, isn't it? So he will back them to do whatever that, you know, they want to do, because he needs them. Because I fully believe that they will not have another free and fair election in that country.
It's a question, isn't it? Come the midterms, yeah, which will be tested this year, because if he loses majorities, then impeachment becomes a much bigger threat than it was previously, because the Senate could endorse it. So he can't ever hold them to account. It would be a bit like Hitler calling for a member of the SS to be prosecuted.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I don't think he cares what they do. He's got no regard for anyone else's life but his own. It's just how it looks. and then, for him, basically.
So what about the people we know? What about the people who used to ring me or text me, the people who used to love what Donald... They love his lies because it winds up the lefties so much, you know, he upsets all the right people. I love it. What do they do now? How do they cling to the idea that their position is somehow sensible or they're watching him lie about things they can see with their own eyes. How do they sustain their position?
I think it's the same as I think the people in this country that support him are exactly the same as the people in America that support him. The cultists, basically.
It's just happily.
They don't believe what the leader says, you know.
There's just fewer. There's a lot fewer of them, isn't there? At the moment, despite Farage's popularity, even among reform voters, Trump is not unanimously popular. They're buying into something. They're being offered something that the rest of us find impenetrable or incomprehensible. And I'm such a woolly liberal. I struggle slightly with the notion of it simply being cruelty and racism. But I don't know what else you could put on that list. Brian, thank you. It's coming up to 11:44. Renee Nicole Good's family, using the word murdered, her mother describing her, as mothers tend to, of course, but in very warm terms, reports of medical professionals being prevented from getting to the scene. One eyewitness saying that agents wouldn't let anyone near the scene, told people that emergency services were on the way. In the video, one agent can be heard saying, "We have our own medics." It took about 15 minutes for EMS to arrive, according to this neighbour, because their vehicles were blocking the street. They were on foot when they got through, and they carried her body out, just like by her limbs. They didn't even have a stretcher. She was carried out like a sack of potatoes. I've never seen anything like this before. This was horrific and will change my life forever. It's just so terrifying, I feel scared. And the president of the country in which this poor woman lives has described the clip as showing the victim violently, willfully and viciously running over the ICE officer. And the ICE officer, who is filmed running around after the event, was wounded so badly after being run over, according to Donald Trump, he is lucky to be alive. I don't know what the Telegraph and the Mail columnists are going to write tomorrow. I really don't. But I doubt are going to be able to write the truth. I know what you're thinking, they never do. But every lie, every massive lie is a little bit more egregious than the last one, isn't it? Until you end up in the land of George Orwell, where the government told you to ignore the evidence, to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. And there's a reason why Orwell describes it as their final most essential command. Because if you really are rejecting the evidence of your eyes and ears, then it's all over. And we'll find out, actually, in the British media tomorrow, when the columns and the commentators start, whether or not we've reached that stage in this country now. I think if Simon Marks joins us after the next break, much of the American media probably has. But how much of the UK media will follow? How many Telegraph, Daily Mail columnists, Dick Littlejohn and his mates, will actually start claiming that the version of events everyone can see is not the version of events that actually happened? We'll speak to Simon after this.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The US immigration agent fatally shooting a 37-year-old woman in Minneapolis, which has sparked the most extraordinary war of words as local officials reject the Trump administration's account, using language such as a domestic terrorist. Is he in Northampton?
Why is it so easy to shoot people? And we just watch it. Oh, look, she's been shot. This is not the way to go.
Luke's in Westminster.
What's important here is not the intent of the suspect. What's important here is the perception of the danger on the end of the officer. These ICE agents look like thugs, and they act like thugs.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Go on. Leave the never-ending laundry pile. Quiet flat and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern.
Chase is the digital bank you can count on.
How so?
Because you get 1% cash back on your grocery shop.
Like on prosciutto?
Yeah, prosciutto.
And seaweed crackers?
Sure, those two.
Oh, hang on, what about rotisserie chickens?
If it's in your grocery shop, Chase has got your cash back. Join today and get 1% cash back on debit card spending on groceries, fuel and everyday transport. Chase, see what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents eligibility applies. 1% cash back for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Exceptions apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
At Lidl, we value getting you the most out of your money. Like switching from Tesco to Lidl and saving £31 on this week's big shop. See the savings at lidl.co.uk/save and start the new year feeling like a savvy saver. Lidl, more to value.
Prices check 5th of the 1st, 26. Tesco also sell other products. See online for more details.
The following is from TfL.
I got loads of flowers the other day and messages from people I didn't even know. My mates spelled out my name in tea lights. And my mom hung my favourite footy shirt on the railings, next to the lamppost, where I got killed. By a nice lady, just someone who thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It is 11:49. I'm just looking at Blue Sky, the only social media platform I use really these days. And there is a doctor there describing a friend and fellow physician being denied access to Renee Nicole Good. Tom Schmidt, MD, MHS, describes it as a goddamn travesty and an injustice happening on our streets. The photographs he cites appear on HuffPost.com. And because, you know, these are live and unfolding events, another doctor, Prasad Jellapalli, MD, PhD, has taken to the platform as well to say that I've never met Dr. Schmidt in real life, but we follow each other. And the colleague at the scene today tried to do what we doctors are supposed to do, intervene to save lives. And then there's still confusion over whether or not the ICE agents who drew weapons were telling the complete truth when they said they had their own medics. And of course, as this character adds, this doctor adds, we are all witnesses to and victims of this atrocity. And that's the mystery, really. Is it going to be another thing where alternative facts either prevail or offer up a counterbalance to the actual facts? And that is very much the mission that Donald Trump is already embarked upon. Simon Marks joins me live from Washington, D.C. Simon, I don't quite know what question to ask first, so perhaps I'll just be quiet and let you speak for a while.
Well, James, I mean, this was inevitable. I mean, there is no surprise that this has happened. The only surprise in many ways is that it didn't happen earlier. Donald Trump has unleashed on this country a military force of masked thugs who have been taking to America's streets in many instances. I mean, 9 separate instances previously, they have shot at people, shooting first and then evading questions later. This is the creation of essentially a police state here. This has been going on for weeks. There was always going to be a tragedy. There was always going to be a flashpoint. But who among us would have imagined it would take place four blocks from where George Floyd was murdered by police, an unarmed black man murdered by police in Minneapolis 5 years ago. I mean, this is an astonishing moment for the United States. And let me also say, for our own government, if we in the UK were witnessing these events on the streets of countries in the global south, we would be intervening and condemning them. The notion that yesterday we saw, I think, David Lammy present somewhere here in the United States, saying how excited he was for Britain and the UK to come together to mark America's 250th birthday later this year, while this kind of thing is taking place on the streets of American cities, beggars belief. And, you know, when you see what Donald Trump said on his social media platform last night, when you hear Kristi Noem, a woman who is only lying whenever she moves her lips, when you see her saying that Nicole Good was a domestic terrorist, it is the beginning of an effort to rewrite the events that took place in Minneapolis yesterday so that they don't have to do in 5 years' time what they did this week to the White House website relating to the events of January the 6th, 2021, the deadly uprising on Capitol Hill, and quite literally rewrite history and lie about what took place in this city on that day. It's all tied together with Venezuela, with Greenland, with the unrestrained, untrammeled desire of this president to be a tough guy, strong man. And the country, I think, is facing a real challenge now with trying to see what, if anything, can be done to stop these ICE agents and Customs and Border Patrol agents from going all over the country and terrorizing and now killing innocent people.
With impunity. And I mean, that is the point. Even now, it would not be too late to say this character will be apprehended and investigated using the full force of federal law. We know that they won't, but that's the point, isn't it? It's I mean, the lie is an invitation in many ways. It's an endorsement of impunity that January the 6th made inevitable and inarguable, but which now arrives squarely at the front of 2026.
Yes, I mean, the impunity that they have, I have to say, when one digs into it, you discover once again is one of these issues that we've all sort of assumed that these federal agents are immune from prosecution, for example, by the local police in Minneapolis, although it's not actually yet been constitutionally tested. And certainly Governor J.B. Pritzker in Illinois has authorized his police forces across that state to start gathering evidence of crimes being committed by ICE agents, because he is willing to test the notion that they enjoy federal immunity. I think it's also important to underscore, James, we had a former Secret Service officer on LBC earlier today who was arguing that all this woman needed to do, you know, she was faced by police with guns drawn, ordering her to get out of her car. She just needed to get out of her car. I mean, I think it is really important to underscore.
Just so that you know, hang on, you may not know this. I don't know how he ended up on LBC, but he's also a contributor to Newsmax, which probably gives you an idea of his credentials and caliber.
Well, the point to underscore is that in communities all over the country, we have witnessed masked ICE agents refusing to identify themselves, dragging people out of vehicles. People are genuinely, even American citizens like Nicole Good, genuinely concerned that they themselves might be deported. While Kristi Noem denies American citizens have been deported, they have been. Just within the last 3 weeks, there was a woman born in Maryland whose lawyers furnished her birth certificate to the Department of Homeland Security, and she was still deported. So the notion that you can view these people as though they're, you know, Dixon of Dot Green and it's a fair cop, Gov, I'll come and help you with your inquiries, is absolutely laughable. These are masked thugs. And it's so bad that last year, the FBI was reportedly preparing to issue guidelines because they were concerned that in various parts of the country, people pretending to be ICE agents, masking up, gathering uniforms, driving around in unmarked cars with blacked out windows, were using that as a pretext for committing crimes because they knew that ICE agents were behaving like that on the streets all over the country.
What will... How is it resisted? But you know my question is more about the media than about the politics of it. People in Trump's immediate orbit, the people with access to the Oval Office, the people who get to interview him on a regular basis, they are part of the project. They are complicit in the lies. But what does the rest of the media do now? I mean, what is the likelihood of more echoes of George Floyd's murder reaching the front pages and the television networks of the United States now?
Well, I think it's important to underscore that, even what the White House refers to as the legacy media here is subject to change. Yeah. I mean, CBS News, as of now, is a pro-Trump network. I'm also bound to say it is the BBC's media partner here in the United States, and I think that poses a massive question, another massive question for the BBC, because what's it going to do about the fact that its media partner is a pro-Trump network at a moment when Trump is suing the corporation for $10 billion for defamation? I think that there's no question that in siloed media channels last night, the public was seeing different versions of this story. So obviously the channels that are pro-Trump and the propaganda networks are emphasizing the fact that that this woman, according to Kristi Noem, was a domestic terrorist, even though there's absolutely no evidence she'd participated, as far as we know, in anti-ICE protests previously. And by the way, those protests are constitutionally permitted and legal. There was nothing that she was doing that one can tell in that video that could be described as illegal, because it's very unclear why she parked her car across. It looks like she may have been attempting to do a U-turn to get out of the area. I mean, certainly there's no evidence to suggest that this was deliberate strategy on her behalf. And then, of course, if you watched MS Now, as it's now called, formerly MSNBC or the left-leaning channels here, you will hear coverage that is obviously much more excoriating towards ICE and this complex, this vast $170 billion complex that Donald Trump is building to deport 1 million people a year from the United States. In that big, beautiful spending bill that he signed into law last year, ICE is going to get more money from the US government to finance its operations than every other state and local law enforcement agency combined. That is the power that ICE is being given, and there has been a rush to recruit more agents. Many of them have been offered generous signing bonuses, $20,000, $30,000, just to bring them on board. And there is copious evidence, NBC News has done a lot of work on this, to show that these men and women are in many cases not receiving basic background checks and security checks before they go into basic training and find themselves on the streets. And if you look at what happened yesterday, that guy pulling his gun, I mean, it almost looks as though the second ICE agent right next to the car is concerned that he's about to come in the line of fire.
Yes.
I mean, this was chaos.
It's a bit like Fredo. Fredo
on a residential street of Minneapolis.
It is, and we shouldn't probably, I shouldn't make light of any of it because it is chilling. And we're just going to have to wait and see how it shakes down next, then, aren't we? We're just going to have to wait and see how it unfolds. But you remind us that it isn't just, of course, the mad wings of what was until relatively recently fringe media. And again, on this side of the Atlantic, we have our own equivalents who are currently in high esteem in the White House. But it is so-called legacy media that is also falling victim to the moratorium on dissent, not just on dissent, of course, but on criticism, on honesty, on decent journalism, the attempts to silence anybody prepared to speak truth to power. Simon Marks, there is no danger of you ever failing to do that, and we remain forever grateful. Thank you. 1 minute after 12 is the time. I'm going to just crunch my gears now, if I may. Not grind them, I'm going to crunch them. Is it the same thing? It is the same thing. But grind my gears is like a synonym for getting angry. I'm crunching gears. What I mean is I'm making a crunching gear change. I'm clearing the switchboard because it's Mystery Hour next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, a vigil has been held in Minneapolis to protest against the death of a woman who was shot and killed by US immigration agents. Officials in Washington claim Renee Nicole Good tried to run over officers after trying to stop her car. Tensions have been rising in recent months over Donald Trump's nationwide crackdown on illegal immigration. At a news conference, the city's mayor, Jacob Frame, told ICE enforcement officers to leave the city.
They are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is bull. This was an agent recklessly using power that resulted in somebody dying.
The former Premier League referee David Coote, who was found to have an indecent video of a child on his laptop, has avoided prison. The 43-year-old has been given a 9-month sentence, suspended for 2 years. Large parts of the UK are preparing themselves for the arrival of Storm Goretti tonight. Amber weather warnings for snow are due to come into force later for several areas. They include the Midlands, Wales, Yorkshire and the southwest of England. These people in Derby have told LBC they're bracing for bad weather.
I hate the cold weather as it is, and the snow just, oh, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it's winter. I mean, this is what winter is.
I think the cold you can cope with, it's just the pain with getting to work and back.
Tesco has reported a 3.2% rise in sales for the Christmas period. It's the retailer's highest market share in more than a decade. Separately, Marks and Spencer says its food sales grew by more than 5.5% over the festive quarter. And the former Leeds United and Wales midfielder Terry Yorath has died at the age of 75 following a short illness. He played for several clubs during his career, including Tottenham Hotspur, Coventry City and Bradford City. He also won 59 caps for Wales before moving into management. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 17 at 10,030. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather. Snow showers will continue across Scotland as Storm Goretti moves in tonight. Wet and windy for southern England this afternoon. Dry elsewhere. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
MJ the Musical. The electrifying Olivier Award-winning hit now in its final weeks. Featuring the jaw-dropping dance moves and legendary songs of Michael Jackson. Don't miss out. Book now at mjthemusical.com. This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 4 minutes after 12 is the time. Just on a lighter note, I'm just going to read you two or three texts that came in during the 12 noon news shortly after I announced that we would be moving next into Mystery Hour, because I sometimes feel you don't appreciate the weight of the burdens that I carry on your behalf. I certainly get this at home. People don't realise how hard it is to do what I do on a daily basis and to deal with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. So they came in exactly the same minute. All right, three in a row I'll give you. Thank you, James. On a day I can't turn off the radio, we all need Mystery Hour. And then I got, I'm really not in the mood for Mystery Hour today, sorry. And then I got, I'm not sure we've ever been more in need of Mystery Hour, James, from Angie. And then finally, Erin. I got the Mystery Hour board game from my partner for Christmas, and it was a hit. Everyone loved playing. There were lots of laughs. Thank you, James. Well, thank you, Erin. More on that in a moment. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. If you're new to this feature, you're probably wondering what on earth it's all about. Well, let me tell you. People ring in with questions, and other people ring in with answers. And somewhere between those two poles, the magic unfolds. It refreshes parts that other radio programs don't even get close to reaching. And that's it, really. Someone rings 03456060973, shares a mystery, shares a conundrum, a riddle, something that has got them puzzled, a puzzle even. And then somebody else rings 03456060973 and answers it with qualifications, which I will rigorously examine. Rigorously, what's the word? Interrogate. I will rigorously interrogate your qualifications. I'm only joking. You can have gleaned the information that you share from watching Beyond Paradise last night on iPlayer. or you might have gleaned it from doing a PhD in applied mathematics. You might be in the middle of a thesis that is relevant to the question that you're answering, or you might have got the answer from a Christmas cracker this very Christmas. What I mean is, it doesn't really matter what the qualifications are, we just need to establish that you definitely do know what you are claiming to know. And you're not allowed to look things up. You are not allowed to look things up. You have to know it. Even if you stumbled across the information relatively recently, doesn't matter. If you were looking it up last week because you were helping the kids with their homework, that's fine. But you can't look it up when you hear it here, because it just makes a mockery of the entire process, the entire project. 7 minutes after 12 is the time. That's probably it, actually. There's a prize, the best contribution of the week, and I'm afraid my decision is first, final, and always. We'll receive a free Mystery Hour game. And you can have either, these days, the original Mystery Hour board game or the travel edition, which proved exceptionally popular over the Christmas period. We are inundated with five-star reviews. You can have the Mystery Hour travel version, which is in a tin and fits neatly in a pocket or a handbag or sundry other means of transportation, and you can play. So they're two different games. The central premise is the same, but the gameplay is very different. The Mystery Hour Travel Edition is much easier to play, and much quicker. And if I dare say, potentially much funnier. But either way, my favourite contribution of the week can have one of those. And you can find out more about the game at mysteryhour.co.uk, where you can buy both versions. And the full terms and conditions for the competition by which you could win one can be found at lbc.co.uk. That'll do, I think, won't it? That pretty much covers everything. Some weeks I guarantee a laugh-out-loud moment. Some weeks I don't. Doesn't really matter whether I do or not. You always get one. So I don't know whether... You do. All right, you might hold your nose and desperately try to hold it in, but you will genuinely, I'm not sure which, get a laugh-out-loud moment in the course of Mystery Hour. I mean, by laugh-out-loud, I don't necessarily mean like the laughing policeman. It might just be a... or a... that's out loud, and it's laughing. Yeah. Splattering coffee moments are rarer, because obviously you have to have coffee in your mouth before you can splutter it all over your keyboard or your dashboard or wherever you may be, but they happen too. And 9 minutes after 12 is the time. We shall get it underway now. Tim's in Leek. Tim, question or answer?
Question. Happy New Year to you, James. I'm gutted that you didn't get an iPad, but maybe next time, eh?
I'm going to try and get you... thank you, and the same to you, and I'm going to try and get you on a better line before we continue with that. And I hope you haven't spoiled anyone's week by revealing that I was once again criminally absent from the New Year's honours list. Next year, eh? Next year. Let's try again. Tim, where were we? Question or answer?
It's a question. My question is about languages, and it's why do they speak...
That's no better. Languages? I hate it when they do that, Tim. It's not your fault. They say, we'll take him off and we'll get a better line, and they say he's back now, and the line's just as bad. It can't be helped. No one does it on purpose. I want to make that absolutely clear. It is just... Well, really? Do they? Oh, come on. Surely not. Two phone lines free, by the way, if you're quick. Aston's in Isleworth. Question or answer, Aston?
It's a question, James, and hopefully I've got a better line than the other guy.
It's scary. Crystal clear, mate. Go on.
Perfect. So my question is, I like to have bubble baths, and when I try to clear the bubbles from my bath, I usually use the shower.
Yes.
Now, when I do this, if I use the cold side, the bubbles clear much quicker than if I use the hot side, and I want to know why that is.
The bubbles go quicker if it's hot?
Yeah, so if I'm clearing the bath, washing it out with the shower, to get rid of the bubbles from my bubble bath, the cold tap on the shower will get rid of the bubbles much quicker than the hot tap.
I've got things much melt quicker in heat, don't they?
Yeah, but it's a bubble.
Hang on, Keith's looking at me weirdly, like that can't possibly be that. It's not melting. Yeah, melt
it's
the
not
bubble.
Melting, it's
You're
bubbles.
Melting the bubble.
No, you pop bubbles.
Yeah, but you can also melt them.
Yeah, I don't think you can melt a bubble unless it's an ice bubble. Even so, it would still pop.
You can melt a balloon.
Yeah, you can't melt a balloon.
Of course you can melt a balloon.
Well, with flames, you can melt a balloon.
Yeah. Well, we're not with hot water, but a bubble's much thinner than a balloon. So you could melt a thing. No? Maybe I've gone off on a bit of an unnecessary tangent.
I think this is one for the board.
All right. So could the pressure be higher? No, the pressure would be higher on the cold water than the hot water, wouldn't it? Usually.
Slightly, but not that much.
Why does hot water pop bubbles more quickly than cold water?
Perfect.
I like it. Nice little West Ham tribute in today's Mystery Hour, in the first question of today's Mystery Hour. I've got a brilliant Idiot's Corner. I never get Idiot's Corner on Mystery Hour, but I'm just going to put that one in the in queue so that we can share it with you shortly. In fact, I may even have a little look at the history. How nuts do you have to be to send that to the to a radio station? Anyway, Stuart's in Hackney. Stuart, question or answer?
Hi, it's a question, James.
Carry on.
I was watching the news the other day, and they're now doing the annual stock take for the London zoos and places like that.
Oh, what do you mean places like that? You mean other zoos?
Well, I don't know if they're doing in other zoos, but I know ZSL.
So all the zoos, all the zoos that are part of ZSL are doing their annual stock take.
Indeed. My question is, how do they stock count the smallest and awkward of creatures like beetles, ants, penguins, so forth?
You can't say beetles, ants, penguins.
Well, they're small creatures, aren't they?
Penguins?
Well, it's an amphibious creature, mammal.
Yeah, but it's not small.
Well, okay.
I mean, I can see why the question comes from. I don't think you've got ants. Have you got ants in the zoo?
Or butterflies, moths.
Yeah.
I mean, penguins are identical, for example. How would you count those, for example?
Well, you just get them all in a room and then count them out one by one, don't you?
Sounds easy, though, doesn't it?
Yes. All animals look the same, mate, don't they, really? I mean, how would you count the elephants if you're going to go by similarity as the reason why it would be difficult to do?
Well, elephants, you ain't going to have a herd of them, are you, really, in a zoo?
Well, but you might have six, and then when you count them, there's seven, because one of them moved from the back of the queue to the front of the queue while you were still in the middle of it.
So, therefore, you're answering my own question.
How do they count the elephants? Well, look, I think we need to be certain that the zoo contains creatures that we would both consider to be too small to count easily, don't we? Because, I mean, even moths and butflies, I'll put it on the board. I understand your question. I think it was a mistake to bring penguins into it, Stuart.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave those ones out. But there are small creatures out there that... How do you account for them?
Yeah, in the insect house, in the reptile, I mean, they might have, like, cockroaches they're not that small. I don't know, again, how small. How do you count the tiny animals when you're doing a stock take in a zoo, not penguins, brackets, obviously, closed brackets?
Okay, we'll go with that.
I don't think they're mammals either, are they, penguins? I think you've started all sorts of controversies here. They're birds, mate.
Oh, yes, they are birds, indeed. Okay.
I'll see you soon, Stuart.
It's birthday.
My day. It's your birthday?
No, it's the same day as yours as it happened.
Oh, it's
the 12th of January.
Okay, the day before. I've got a godson. In fact, that just reminds me. I must send him a present. Thank you very much, indeed. How do they count the tiny animals in the zoo? Do they do it two by two? Sorry.
This is LBC.
I love visiting Mum and Dad, but as they've gotten older, I've worried about leaving them on their own, especially in winter. We visit as often as we can, but they needed more regular help. That's why we're so grateful to Ellie, their home instead care professional who lives with them and is always there when she's needed. It means Mum and Dad can stay in the home they love, and it gives us peace of mind to know they're okay when we're not there. For award-winning home care you can trust, visit homeinstead.co.uk.
This is your business. This is your business supercharged with the help of Xero Accounting Software. This is managing cash flow. This is managing your cash flow with the help of Xero Accounting Software. These are your customers paying you. These are your customers having more ways to pay you with the help of Xero Accounting Software. This is your business supercharged with the help of Xero, helping you sort your cash flow by giving your customers more ways to pay, so now you can focus on making your business boom. Supercharge your business today with the help of Xero.
As you can hear from my voice, I'm in a state of high exhilaration. Yes, I am positively beside myself. The reason that I can barely contain my enthusiasm is the IKEA Winter Sale. Weeks of incredible bargains. The inexpressible thrill of finding precisely the right thing at the right price. Sale now on IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
Well, this has all gone a bit Pete Tong, hasn't it, from the get-go this week. So I got that wrong. I got Aston's question wrong about bubbles. He was saying that the cold water disperses the bubbles quicker than the hot water. So my question about melting was pretty stupid, even if I got it the right way round, but I got it the wrong way round. So, oh dear. Why does the cold... then it's probably water pressure, right? If you're using the shower head to clear the bath of bubbles, then the pressure on the cold tap, that's the olden days really, isn't it? It's pretty much the same these days. All right, why does cold spray disperse bubbles quicker than hot spray? 0345 6060973. And how do they count the really, really tiny animals in the zoo when they're doing their annual stock take? Quite a bit of controversy over penguins as well, but I'm standing by everything I said on the subject. Ian is in Callington in Cornwall. Ian, question or answer?
Continent, please. Sorry, question, please.
Carry on. That made me laugh. Go on. Thank you, Ian.
That was the plan. So the question is, when I love listening to your programme.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's covering some pretty heavy stuff.
That's for sure.
So I must confess to occasionally flipping it over to your sister station, Classic FM, for a bit of calm and peace.
I can't blame you for that sometimes, but make sure you come back.
Of course, of course. And it sometimes, some of the pieces of music they play are just phenomenally fast. I'm a minor musician, but you hear some of the pianists and violinists play things that you think, how on earth can they do that? Which just got me wondering, have any of the major composers ever written anything that actually is just unplayable? It's just too fast or too complicated.
I mean, wouldn't they have to be able to play it themselves to compose it? Not necessarily. You can write down any old bilge, couldn't you? There's a Rachmaninoff thing, isn't there? That film Shine is about, that's supposed to be really difficult. But then again, there's the difference, as you will know better than I do, Ian, between playing something and playing something well. You could, for example, play all the right notes.
All the best ones are the old ones.
They are, absolutely. Aren't they? It doesn't even need a punchline, that one. It's such a classic. So like a piece of music that is almost or actually impossible to play. That's a wonderful question. Do you think that virtuosi, if that's the correct plural, have a consensus on what the hardest piece of piano music, for example, ever written is? They probably do, don't they?
I would guess so. Not being one, I don't know myself, but there are those that are renowned as being hard, as you say. But it might be that whatever was written that couldn't be playable, they sort of kept it quiet.
Okay, you're on. I like it. Is there a piece of music so hard to play that it's never actually been played? Or just out of curiosity, what is widely regarded as the hardest piece? I mean, I know it might be instrument specific, so this isn't going to be a particularly strict question, but it's a really interesting one. Thank you, Ian. What a first-class contribution that was. Made me laugh out loud. At the beginning, I got my laugh out loud moment, and then coming in with a question that's got me thinking all sorts of things. Karen is in Bromley. Karen, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on, Karen.
I'm a domiciliary carer, so I take a client out about four times a week.
Oh, yes.
And she loves being driven around the countryside and the seaside. But this sounds stupid, but when you're in the countryside, there are bus stops in the middle of nowhere. So when I'm driving down my high street, I see a bus stop, I see a bus, I see houses, I see people waiting.
Mm.
But in the countryside, they're just randomly shoved everywhere. So who decides where bus stops should be placed? And why? Well, no, then that's two questions, isn't it?
You can. I'm relaxing Mystery Hour a bit in 2026, Karen. I think you know we've been doing it for so long now. We can all kind of let things slide a little bit, can't we?
Yeah, but why are they placed in the middle of nowhere? Who uses them? What?
Well, I spend quite a lot of time, or I used to, A, in the countryside, and B, on buses. They're not quite in the middle of nowhere. So where I grew up, which is a farm, there was a bus stop pretty much at the end of the lane where I grew up that only really served within easy walking distance our house. And the houses that were also part of the sort of farm development. And it would be about a 5-minute walk from the nearest village. But the nearest village had a bus stop at the other end. So it, most people there would find it easier to walk to the bus stop. So there's a bit of rhyme or reason to where they're placed rurally. But occasionally you come across one that's not near anywhere, don't you?
Yeah. So going through Eden Bridge, Westerham.
Yeah.
And then just before you hit Eden Bridge, there's a bus stop on the corner. And there's another bus stop where it's all overgrown and everything like that, so you can't even stand anywhere.
Well, they're all request stops these days anyway, so they've probably got... There's probably a requirement to have a bus stop within a certain distance of the last bus stop. Oh, hang on, this could be
right.
It. And therefore, even... And then you'll have a bit of a parameter in which that bus stop can go. So you have to have a bus stop within X metres, X hundred metres or X miles of the last bus stop, right? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what if that area is empty? You still have to put a bus stop there, and it will only stop if someone's standing there and waves.
Makes sense, but not too sure.
No, nor am I now. I like this. There's not much seaside in Bromley, is there? Or is there?
No. No, I drive about 500 miles a week for this client, to get her out the house.
Oh, that's nice.
And she just loves it. And I try and persuade her, shall we just go to West Wickham or Gareth at Croydon? She's like, absolutely not.
She likes some trees and she likes some seas. Trees and seas.
Yes.
I love that.
So, yes.
School children, buses, school children, like there's a central point and then they either get picked up from the bus stop or they, but I like it. How do they decide where to put the bus stops in the areas where you can't see any houses? That's what we're really asking.
That's it. Love it how you've done that. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. And I mean, I almost had a go at you then for asking a motoring question, but it's not a motoring question. It's a humanity question. It's a logistics question. It's a geography question. It's not a motoring question. It's a wonderful question. Thank you, Karen. Ian's in Glasgow. Ian, question or answer?
Question, James.
Yes.
Why do we clap when we applaud for, in a theatre or whatever, as opposed to stamping our feet or making some other noise? Where did it come from?
I've almost certainly done this before. Haven't we?
I would be surprised if you didn't, but I can't remember it.
No, you don't have to. It doesn't matter. We're very relaxed now on Mystery Hour. I mentioned it to Karen a moment ago. You may have heard. But the point is, we can't remember. I can't remember. You can't remember. And you might not have been listening. I was almost certainly listening. There's only ever been one episode of Mystery Hour that wasn't presented by me, but we never talk about that.
I think the only thing I can think of is the fact that it's A, universal, and B, anonymous.
But kind of. I mean, you'd certainly notice if someone wasn't clapping in a room full of people. Just for the record, that noise you made a moment ago, that sort of ha-ha-ha noise, that doesn't qualify as a laugh out loud, Ian, in case you were wondering.
I will take note of that.
It was very ha-ha half-hearted.
Ha-ha-ha-ha? No, it was ha-ha-ha half-hearted.
Where does applause? Why do we clap? I mean, it's the easiest thing to do. I mean, could cheer. So you're not cheering, you're clapping. I like that. The origin of clap. Does every culture clap, do we think? Or do other cultures have a crowd full of people showing appreciation in a way other than clapping?
I don't know if it's learned behaviour. It's just started somewhere and then just spreads. I don't know.
Yeah, you're on. Why do we clap? Where does it come from? And why do we do it? Well, we know why we do it, but why do we do it, if you see what I mean? 25 minutes after 12 is the time. So, bubbles, penguins, music, buses and clapping. All human life is here, and indeed some avian life as well. James is in Hartley in Kent. James, question or answer?
It's answer to the penguin question.
Yes, carry on.
Right, so firstly, like you just said, penguins are birds. Like, that drives me insane.
Excuse me, one moment.
Absolutely.
Round of applause for me. Thank you very much. Carry on, James.
You get a bonus, and that actually made me laugh out loud as well. So,
hey!
Double one for you. You should get another round of applause for that, too.
Let's not get carried away. Keith, stop it. Honestly, I'm too modest. Stop it, Keith. Carry on, James.
So, penguins, they've got markings. So, each penguin has unique markings. And they're also generally rung as well. So we can just count them. We call them in. We know their names.
Yeah.
Most keepers will know the individuals. So you can have a group of about 30 or 40 penguins and you'll know each one's name, how old they are, who they are, how friendly they are. Are they going to murder you? Which penguins do on a regular basis.
Can they get quite feisty?
Penguins are possibly one of the worst animals I've ever worked with in my life.
Is that right? They are pure evil. Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, what you do
is you get penguin bodyguards. You get penguins that like you, and you use them to defend you against the penguins that don't like you.
I like this.
So they're really, really good. So, yeah, you'd normally look at their spot markings. So with all of those sort of animals, we do individual counts. We go over there. And also, just so we know, zookeepers count their animals every single day.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah, we have to. It's part of the zoo licence. We have to make sure all our animals are counted for daily. And also, it's good management. We make sure everyone's okay.
So what's the stock take about then? Just doing it officially,
is it? Publicity. It's like an official publicity thing. We do it. It's one of those things where keepers roll their eyes at it. Because it's one of those, don't we do this? So we're not out with clipboards. We just go and literally count our animals every day.
What about the tiny animals in the, I don't know. What is the tiniest? Because I presume you've worked as a zookeeper. That's.
I was a zookeeper for 30 plus years.
Good Lord.
So, with the insects, things like that, we don't tend to do counts. So with
stick insects
groups, we don't.
You see in the zoo, don't you? But they're quite
some
big.
Some of them you do. If they're in small groups and individuals, we'll make sure, obviously, that everyone's counted. So everything else is done generally on averages if they're an invertebrate. The only change to that is things like naked mole rats, which are colonial fast breeders.
Right.
You tend to count. Sometimes you'll count who's not with us anymore because they have very short lifespans.
Yes.
But you can't really do individuals in that. You'll know the queen.
Because they breed like
naked mole rats.
They breed like naked mole rats.
They breed very well. So, but there's a queen, so there'll be an individual that breeds, so you'll know where she is and who she is. But the rest of essentially, like they're like a beehive, so they're, they're workers, and then you have the queen that breeds.
So, it was, oddly enough, it was a really nice question, but it wasn't actually much of a mystery.
Well, no, but the thing is, it's a mystery to people that don't know animals.
That's very true.
I can get why. If you, like the layman looks at a penguin, they have no idea that a keeper will know that penguin out of all the other penguins.
I actually knew that. I'd forgotten that. I did one of those things with my daughter. I fed them.
Keeper for a day.
At Edinburgh Zoo. I did keeper for a day. Yeah, it was one of the best days that we've had together. Oh, it was absolutely joyous. The pictures still come up on my phone sometimes, James, and they fill me with joy. We had such a lovely day. I tell you what we really liked. The armadillos.
Oh, brilliant animals. They're one of my favourites. Well, I was a bird keeper.
Were you?
And birds are my favourite.
Did you have a favourite penguin?
Yeah, Egg the penguin.
Egg.
Because he was my bodyguard.
Oh.
He was the one that kept the others away when they tried to murder you.
And do you go back and visit at all?
I do. And the funny thing is, where you do, they recognise their old keepers, even in civilian clothes. So
that's
when we go in out of uniform, they all, like my vulture Phil, who's still at London. She was my favourite. She still recognises me when I go and visit every now and again.
It's such a wholesome conversation, this. I don't want it to end.
Best job I ever had. But I also don't miss it.
No, I'm sure. I mean, it's hard work. There's no getting away
from
that.
It's really, really hard. And they're not always the best looked after keepers, and it's extremely low wages. Extremely low.
I hear you. What was I going to say? You've distracted me from my own distractions now. The stock take, the census, working in London Zoo, doing the... Oh, who chooses the names?
Well, it depends. So I was never a fan of naming animals, but so I used to give them silly names.
Yeah.
So our vulture was a girl, and I called her Philip just to annoy everyone.
But everyone calls her Phil, so they think it stands for Phyllis, don't they?
Well, yeah, they do, and they've actually changed it now. But so the keepers tend to name them, but the funny thing is, we had the Queen and Prince Philip come to the opening of Land of the Lions at London, so I had to be very careful what I said when we were introducing the animals to them.
It's sensational. I love it. Did you have any animals called Keith at all during your 30 years at London Zoo?
We had Keith the locust that we fed out to some of the birds.
Half past 12. Ah, round of applause for James. Beautifully done. Tim Humphrey has your headlines.
It's feared the shooting of a woman in Minneapolis by an immigration officer could spark violent protests. 37-year-old Renee Good died during a crackdown on illegal immigration by enforcement officers. Former Premier League referee David Coote has received a suspended sentence for possessing a child abuse video. The footage found on his phone by police was Category A, the most serious kind. Amber weather warnings for snow are due to come into force tonight for several areas. They include the Midlands, Wales, Yorkshire and the southwest of England. And a look at the forecast, snow showers will continue across Scotland as Storm Goretti moves in. Wet and windy for southern England this afternoon and a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Okay, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life?
We're doing pretty muddy.
It's an obstacle course.
There's one for kids.
Runners.
Walkers.
Book clubbers.
Knit clubbers.
Tenpin bowlers.
Choir singers.
Lake swimmers.
Gardeners.
Whether you climb it.
Slide it.
Or crawl it.
Go all in against cancer.
All in to help fund life-saving research.
Sign up now.
And save 30% off entry to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event. Search Race for Life. Discount ends January 31st, 2026. T's and C's apply.
The following is from TFL.
I got loads of flowers the other day. And messages from people I didn't even know. My mates spelled out my name in tea lights. And my mom hung my favourite footy shirt on the railings. Next to the lamppost, where I got killed. By a nice lady. Just someone who thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of... Pucker Herbal Tea. Ah, pucker. Nothing beats nature.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
33 minutes after 12 is the time. Has any music ever been written that is impossible to play? I love that question. We've done the zoo question. Why does cold water disperse bubbles quicker than hot water? You can't call me stupid for not knowing the answer to a question, as some people have done, because I misunderstood the question in the first place, even though I would have got it wrong even if I'd understood it correctly. Thank you very much. What was Kara's question about bus stops? How do they decide where to put the bus stops? In the areas where there isn't any obvious conurbation. The origin of clapping. And whatever else you've got to put on the board. Tim is in Leek, who has now borrowed his neighbour's phone in order to ensure that the quality of phone line. I'm bigging it up, Tim. It better be good.
You are. And shout out to Rob, my neighbour.
Right, well done, Rob. It's like you're in the room with me, Tim. What's the question?
the question is, why do they speak multiple languages in Asian countries? So, for example, English people speak English and French people speak French. The hint is in the title. Whereas in China, they speak Cantonese, Mandarin, Fuhazese. Pakistan, they speak Urdu and Punjab. Singapore.
Well, isn't it going to be the size? Isn't it simply because the country's so enormous that the modern borders encompass many previous civilizations?
Well, I did have that thought pattern myself. But if you take a country like America, which is huge,
yes.
they all speak English, don't they?
Well, I think Spanish is pretty huge these days in the United States of America. I don't know how many people who speak Spanish habitually can't speak English. The number is quite low, so that I imagine it's quite low, so that distinguishes it from what you're describing. But also, even here, you know, we've got Gaelic, we've got people speak in the United Kingdom, people speak Irish. There's different forms of French. I think the answer's going to be size. I really do.
Right.
Don't you?
Possibly.
I can't see what else. I mean, if you had a tiny... Well, Switzerland's quite a good example, actually. They speak loads of different languages in Switzerland, and it's not very big, because its modern borders encompass Italy, France, you know, other countries where other languages were spoken. Switzerland's the absolute killer card here, mate.
Right.
Isn't it?
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, so, they speak lots of different languages in Switzerland.
Yeah.
No. Well, you are now.
Well, I am now, yeah. Every day's a school day.
I mean, that's what Mystery Hour is for. I'll put the question on the board, but if it's not linked to geographical size or the history of the... I mean, another question is, why do they speak different languages on different sides of a border when people can almost shout to each other across a valley and they've ended up evolving to speak different languages. But I like the question, albeit that I think the answer might be within reach. Thank you, Tim. And thank you, Rob, as well. Go and give him his phone back now. What if someone's trying to get through to him? It is 12:36. Paul is in Tottenham. Paul, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Do you play paddle?
Oh, dear. Everyone was asking me that over Christmas.
Oh, okay.
I don't play paddle. Everyone keeps telling me I must. I've got a bit of tennis elbow at the moment, Paul, since you asked.
That's okay.
You don't sound very sympathetic, mate.
No, well, I've had the same, but just...
what do you do
get
about
the
it?
Cream on. What do I do?
What do you call
massage
it?
Massage gun.
Yeah?
Get a massage gun and give it a good go on your forearm.
Is that a good thing?
Either side.
Okay.
Does help.
I'm rubbing it
does
now.
Does help.
It's a bit painful. I played a bit yesterday, even in this cold.
You've got to use a bit of force. Not a gentle rub, not a massage.
I was thinking of getting a strap.
Put your elbow in it.
I was going to get a strap.
They're rubbish.
Are they? All right. Anyway, where were we? Paddle.
Paddle.
Go on.
At the end of the racket, there's that annoying string that you got to put your wrist through.
Is there?
Yes.
Okay.
And you get used to it. It's annoying, but then after you get used to it, you like it. But anyway, it's the only racket that I can think of that has a string that you have to attach your arm to just in case the racket flies off and doesn't hit anybody.
Yeah.
Why is there no string on the tennis racket, badminton racket, squash racket?
How heavy is the paddle? Is it much heavier than the other rackets?
They're about 350 grams.
What's that in we always measure things in terms of double-decker buses or how many Wembley stadiums it would fill. What's 350 grams in, like, is it a bag of flour or is it a...
Three whole nuts.
Okay.
Three and a half whole nuts.
Yeah, well played. I like that analogy. I like that unit of measurement. So, it's going to be, surely, a combination of two things, Paul. It's going to be the likelihood of it slipping out of your hand and the likelihood of it doing you a mischief if it does. So a badminton racket isn't really going to hurt anyone. Even if you smash them over the head with it 10 times, it's probably going to break before it does them any meaningful harm. A tennis racket, with the exception of a peculiarly intimate game of doubles, is not going to travel far enough to hurt anybody else if it were to fly out of your hand. A table tennis bat, I think, might be the fly in the ointment of my theory. But I've
what
never
about a squash racket. Do you ever play squash?
Yeah, I have played a bit of squash. I think I'd put that under the same as in between the badminton racket and the tennis racket. It's not that likely to fly out of your hand. And if it did,
it's
the
same grip.
It wouldn't do that much damage.
You've got the same grip on a paddle racket as you would have on any other racket. Tennis, badminton, squash.
So it's a weird question, because the question isn't why do we have a string on a paddle racket, because that is to stop it flying out of your hand and hitting someone. The question is why don't we have strings on all the other rackets?
Yes.
Hmm.
Because paddle's doubles, so's tennis.
Yeah.
And badminton. And squash. Well, squash, you're in, you could play doubles, but it's just as... You could get whacked by the other guy if you're playing singles.
Yeah, you could. I mean, is it that annoying, having a bracelet on a paddle racket?
It is.
Is it?
But you get used to it, and then it's kind of like a comfort thing, and then you like it.
Yeah, fair enough. And do you play a lot, then?
Do 3 times a week.
Oh, okay. It's growing very... It's big, isn't it? Everyone's at it.
It is. You should give it a go. I'm sure you like it.
But a pal of mine actually broke his ankle or something. Doing it, but
because he didn't have the right shoes.
He's actually got one of the most extraordinary wardrobes of anyone I know. So I'd be amazed if he didn't have the right shoes. But I shall check.
Right
I shall check with him next time I see him. Paul, thank you. Why do paddle rackets have a little bracelet on them and all the other rackets don't? 12:40 is the time. Stephen is in Ashington. Stephen, question or answer?
Got an answer for you.
Carry on, Paul.
I hope.
Carry on. Stephen, Paul was the last caller. Carry on, Stephen. Fly away, Paul.
Bus stops in remote locations.
Yes.
Yeah, I use them quite a lot because I'm a long-distance hiker and an endurance runner, and they generally follow around hiking trails and bridleways.
Really?
So, for example, you can take the military road in Northumberland that follows kind of along Hadrian's Road.
Yeah.
Certain areas, there's absolutely nothing, but they put bus stops in key locations where the trail would crisscross the main road. And I use them quite a lot to get to or out of certain areas, especially remote areas, to get back home.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But I believe you.
Different countries as well.
I believe you, but do we know, or do we just think that's the rationale for placing them in places?
Well, I don't know why the bus puts them there, but I generally use these.
It's chicken and egg, Stephen. That's what I'm saying. It's chicken and egg, isn't it? Are they there because of the hikers, or are the hikers using them because they're there?
Well, I just presume so, because they generally intersect with main trails.
So it does make sense. Okay. And yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a round of applause. Do you have a favourite hike?
I have a few. There's the Pennine Way, obviously, which I've done, which I'll be there next Sunday for a certain race.
Fantastic.
And also the certain trails in Hong Kong and Tenerife.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Hong Kong, you surprised me.
Well, I lived there for 15 years, so I do know it very intimately. And Tenerife is also one of my favourite locations due to the volcano and all the trails that are around there.
Well, that sounds lovely. Have you ever walked from Kidderminster to Stourport up the canal?
No.
Well, that's one for your list.
The longest I have done is from Hawes in West Yorkshire up to Kirkyatum in Scotland, non-stop, 80 hours.
What, not non-stop?
Well, I had about 2 hours, Kip.
Good grief. Oh, you're a legend. Have a round. I bet you're very wiry, aren't you? Tell the truth.
I'm 55 and I'm having my midlife crisis.
Right, it's a wonderful midlife crisis to have. It's a lot better than running off with a colleague, isn't it? Round of applause for Stephen, please. You see what I did there? I guarded myself against a bit of misogyny then. A little bit of low-level misogyny. I nearly said running off with your secretary, but that would be a sort of 1970s... misogynistic presumption. So I said colleague. It was still a sort of strange thing to say, but not as strange as it would have been if I hadn't stopped myself. Tony's in Raynham. Tony, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Wow, carry on.
The clapping question.
Oh, yes.
It dates back to ancient Rome,
yes,
where they used to hold a senate and various people would give their speech.
Yes.
And at the end of a speech, if those listening were impressed, on his way back to sitting down, people would stand up and pat him on the back.
Right.
And people who were a little bit further away, who couldn't reach, they wanted to sort of pat him on the back, so they'd clap their hands.
Okay.
And gradually, over a period of time, it just sort of grew until it turned into a round of applause.
I mean, that is an absolutely brilliant answer in terms of the facts and the evidence available. But how do we know that it's true? So what are your qualifications?
My qualification? Well, I've always had an interest, more when I was younger, in ancient Rome and Romans and all that sort of thing. And I remember reading it. I can't tell you what the book was, but I remember reading it, and it sort of hinted that was...
Could be the origins of applause.
Yeah, and it made complete sense.
It does make perfect sense. I wonder if it was Macaulay's Essays and Lays of Ancient Rome.
Oh dear, you got me there.
In the bookcase when I was a kid. It was very hard to read, actually. I'm going to give you a round of applause for that, Tony, because I love it.
Well, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lovely answer. It's a great answer.
Well, so many things have dated back to that time.
Of course. Well, I mean, many people might say, what did the Romans ever do for us? But you and I would be able to provide, we'd be able to provide a lot of answers to that question,
indeed,
wouldn't we?
Indeed.
Roads.
Yeah.
Sewers.
Central heating,
yeah. That's
yeah.
Round of applause for Tony.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. 12:45 is the time. Just to clear a couple of things up. A lot of people... here's a story I've told on the programme several times, as with all my stories. Keith either has forgotten this or doesn't. You must have heard it. So a lot of people are wondering why I couldn't answer the zoo question myself, because you seem to believe that I once worked in a zoo or a safari park. That's not the anecdote. The anecdote is that when I first left school and my parents insisted that I got a job, I went to Kidderminster Job Centre and was amazed to see on the wall, they used to put job vacancies on a postcard, and you put them on the wall, and you take the postcard off the wall and take it to the counter, and one said sea lion trainer, at West Midlands Safari Park. Have you got this, Keith? Do you not remember this at all? You do now. Well, that's why they think. So I applied to be a sea lion trainer at West Midlands Safari Park, and I even went for an interview, and it was going very well until they said the words or the letters YTS. So it was part of the youth training scheme, which meant it wasn't a proper wage. It was obviously a youth training, and I needed a proper wage. So unfortunately, my sea lion training career ended at that point, at that hurdle, and I went to get, I got a job in, well, since you ask, I got a job at River Island in Worcester instead, on a proper job, a proper rate. But I often look back and wonder how my life might have unfolded if my sea lion training dreams had been allowed to come true.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
While all eyes are on Venezuela and Greenland, ICE agents in Minneapolis shoot dead a young mother protesting their raids. Will your local pub be on a work to rule? And the case for weight loss jabs takes a hit.
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
The following is from TFL.
My name was Luna, like the moon. I was 2 days short of my 17th birthday when I was killed. My killer wasn't a bad man. He'd had a rescue dog called Frank and rang his mum every Sunday. He wasn't a speed freak. He just thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit. But that was enough to knock me off my bike and kill me.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
There's so much more to enjoy when you fly in Emirates Economy. Spacious legroom, delicious regionally inspired meals, complimentary drinks, and with the latest movies, TV shows, music and live sport, some of the best entertainment in the skies. And our family services make your journey simple and fun. Plan your next trip and start the holiday early in Emirates Economy. Fly Emirates, fly better.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Chase is the digital bank you can count on.
How so?
Because you get 1% cash back on your grocery shop.
Like on prosciutto?
Yeah, prosciutto.
And seaweed crackers?
Sure, those two.
Hang on, what about rotisserie chickens?
If it's in your grocery shop, Chase has got your cash back. Join today and get 1% cash back on debit card spending on groceries, fuel and everyday transport. Chase, see what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents eligibility applies. 1% cash back for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Exceptions apply.
Early bird offers end Sunday in the biggest Furniture Village sale of the year. Save even more on sofas, dining, beds and bedroom furniture. And that's on top of sale prices. But hurry, early bird offers end this Sunday at Furniture Village, a world-class family business.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It is 10 to 1. Let's crack on. Kurt is in Aberdeen. Kurt, question or answer?
It's an answer, James. Give it my best shot.
Carry on.
Okay, it's the soapy bubbles when the bubble bath sticking to the bath.
Yeah, my first band was called the Soapy Bubbles.
Well, there you go. What did you play? Guitar, bass, drums?
Well, all of them. Okay.
Yeah,
carry on.
Okay, yeah, so I'm snowed in Aberdeen today, and I was contemplating this. I haven't actually tried it, but I would imagine I've got a good reason for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you must try and picture a soap molecule. If you like, it's like a tadpole, James. It's got an electrically charged head and a long, a very hydrophobic tail. And if you put a very small amount of soap, and you can try this at home,
yeah,
into water, what happens is the charged head goes straight for the water, and the hydrophobic, that's that Greek word again, fear of water, tail sticks up into the air. So it's interfacial, we say, between the air and the water.
Okay.
Now, these hydrophobic tails are water repellent. If you're fearing water, Okay, that's cold water's bad enough. Hot water's even worse. So what they do is they flock together. Now, this is an analogy with a question that came up in Mystery Hour several months ago. You remember the chap that had the tea biscuit and he was complaining? He wondered why it went soggier quicker in his cold tea than it did in the hot. It's the same principle. Hydrophobic attraction. These water-repellent tails react instantly to the hot water. They clump together and they become more water repellent. So I suspect it would take longer to wash away the soapy bubble. How's that?
First class, mate.
It's just a good hypothesis, of course, James. There might be some colloidal scientist will tell me.
Well, what are your qualifications?
Here. Well, I've got a PhD in chemistry and I teach this sort of thing. You know?
That'll do, I think. So the hot water, because Eleanor's a bit confused.
Very simply, they're more water repellent to hot water than they are to cold water. Simple as that.
Why?
Because of these hydrophobic attractions. The hotter the water, these hydrophobic tails basically clump together and produce a much stronger, more hydrophobic barrier to the water, which they see as a threat, I suppose.
Round of applause.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well played, Kerr. Lovely stuff. Harris is in Derby. Harris, question or answer?
Hi, James. Answer, please.
Carry on.
Yeah, it's on the paddle racket versus the tennis racket, why the paddle racket's got a string.
Yes.
It's all to do with moment. Basically, the paddle racket is shorter and stubbier. So where the ball hits the racket, from there to your hand, the distance is shorter.
Yes.
Whereas on the tennis racket, the distance is longer. So it's the same thing like when Archimedes said that, you know, give me a large enough lever and I can move the earth. It's to do with what movement you feel on your hand on a tennis racket versus a paddle racket. On paddle racket, you'll feel more force on your hand because...
So you're more likely to let go of it?
That's it, yes.
And it could fly out of your hand and hit someone right in the kisser?
That's it, yes.
That'll do. So it's physics, really.
Yeah, it's very... And so,
just to run through them quickly, a table tennis bat is much lighter...
It's because the ball is very lighter as well.
So you're not going to have that friction upon impact that makes letting go of it more likely. Ditto badminton with a shuttlecock. Squash, similarly, much lighter ball, is it? Or
much lighter ball, but also the racket is longer as well. So the paddle racket is still shorter than a squash racket.
Qualifications?
Aerospace engineer.
love it. I'll tell you what, that's a perfect thing as well for, was it Paul that asked the question? You're getting an answer from an aerospace engineer. That's got copper bottomed. 12:54 is the time. Kieran's in Bristol. Kieran, question or answer?
Hi, James. Answer. Bit of a steward's inquiry as well to that last one. Well, more of a supplementary.
We prefer supplementaries to steward's inquiry. Steward's inquiry is fighting talk, Kieran.
Not necessarily steward's inquiry, because I'm sure that aspect is right, and I'm no aerospace engineer.
Yes.
But I do play paddle, and I have played it regularly for a couple of years now.
Okay.
The difference fundamentally between paddle and other racket sports is the fact that two-thirds of the glass on the court on each side is surrounded by glass that you can play the ball off.
Right.
And you're in an enclosed area, so it's... A couple of reasons. One is safety of other players. The other is if the racket leaves your hand, you're preventing damage to the equipment as well.
That's a good point as well. So, I mean, it's all contingent upon the likelihood of it flying out of your hand is higher than it is with other rackets, but also the damage it will do if it does is higher than it would be in other games with other rackets as well.
Exactly.
First class. What's the appeal? Why play that and not normal tennis?
It's much more accessible, I think. So tennis is quite a tricky one to get good at and get good at quickly.
Yes.
Paddle itself is something you can pick up at a moment's notice, and you can play with varying levels of players, and you have more time playing the ball. It's not as one-sided as tennis if you're a novice against somebody that's a bit more skilled at it, for example.
That's a brilliant answer, actually. It really is a brilliant answer, because that's completely taken away all of my confusion about why it appeals so much more than I could make sense of previously. So I'm going to give you two rounds of applause, actually, Kieran. That's the first. And that's the second.
Do you know what? I've waited years for the right question to ring in an answer to this, so that has made my day, James. Thank you very much.
You go double bubble as well, although you didn't in any way remove the previous round of applause. You just got your own double bubble. Thank you, Kieran. Jack is in Bristol. Jack, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
The musical question, is it impossible?
Yeah.
Yes. But it's quite a broad thing to say, because it can be impossible in terms of tempo, conceptually impossible, physically impossible. For example, Mozart wrote a piece called A Musical Joke.
Yeah.
Which you've got to think like a Tupac diss track against Biggie. He was basically making a track to make fun of whack composers back in the day.
Probably Salieri, wasn't it?
Something like that. So you know, you can't play it because it doesn't play by the rules of music.
In terms but could
of
he tempo. Play it?
No.
So no one could play. Well, that's it. That's the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I could go deeper if you want to make myself sound more intelligent.
Well, I'll give you a minute because I've got Mark in Barrow in Furness on the line, and he's always good value as well. So give us another minute of quality content.
Okay, so there's something can be a cluster in terms of notes where it is physically impossible to play
unless you've got 11 fingers.
Exactly.
Or you've got a span that is wider than any known human.
Well, my span's pretty good.
No one likes to show off.
I am a piano teacher. I'm on my lunch break at the moment. I had to answer. Also, you know, there's John Cage, who did that 4 minutes 33, that silence. I don't know if you know that one.
Yeah. Well, we can all play that.
Exactly. He did one called As Slow As Possible.
Oh.
So it's so slow, you'd be bored to death. You know, it's just... So in terms of timing, conceptually, the artist not being able to cognitively play that particular speed, yes, it's impossible.
Qualifications?
Piano teacher.
Round of applause. Jack. Beautifully done. And Mark in Barrow in Furness, you only have a minute, Mark. I presume it's the languages question.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
First point is, well, there's about 6,000 languages in the world on a reasonable judgment. And that there are 200 countries, so that means there's 30 per country. But that would assume that each language was only in one country, and as we know, that's not the case.
Correct.
And in a country like Britain, which you think is mainly monolingual, as you said, there's lots of other languages like Gaelic and Punjabi and so on. And a lot of these languages are unwritten, they're small tribal languages, but there are many of them. In a country like China, they're basically a series of related languages that share a script. So it's not clear the Chinese even counts as one language.
Oh, blimey.
In a country like India, it's got a long, complicated history with different language families coming in at different times. So you've got the languages like Hindi, Indo-European languages coming in from the northwest. Further south, you've got languages like Tamil, which have been in India for a lot longer. And they've all mixed and matched and had contact with each other. So... But a lot of this is a cultural and political decision. For example, I've known people in Flanders who call their language Flemish.
Well.
And others who call it Dutch.
And of course, the English tried to outlaw Welsh, didn't they? Or they tried to suppress Welsh.
People
so
tried
that's
to suppress languages, yeah.
I told you you only had a minute. And as I say every time I talk to you, I could listen to you all day. Have another round of applause on me, Mark.
Thank you.
No, thank you. That's Tim's question roundly answered. Ball game to Kerr, I think, don't you? Because he's snowed in. I mean, what if he's still snowed in this time next week? He'll have a mystery hour game to play with. Presuming the postman can get through. That's it from me for another day. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Global Player or the LBC app. They're both free, and they both let you stay up to date on the top stories and opinions, plus your news categories in the order you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, including James O'Brien Daily, the best bits from this show every day. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Tom Sawbrick will be with you at 4. Sheila Fogarty is with you now.
Thank you very much, James. Later on this afternoon, pub landlords are planning coordinated strike action, delayed opening hours and even symbolic protests over business rate changes. But will the Treasury act before they have to? I'm going to start, though, with events in Minneapolis. 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good is either a young mother protecting her neighbours from immigration raids or what the Trump administration describes as a domestic terrorist endangering public servants. Either way, the poor woman is dead, shot by an ICE agent. Her daughter has no mother. I call foul on the claims by the Trump administration, and America is protesting. The Democrats very publicly, very openly wading in as well. We'll have more in a moment.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the mayor of Minneapolis has ordered federal agents out of the city after a woman was shot dead during an immigration crackdown. Authorities claim it was an act of self-defense and she'd been trying to run over officers. Minneapolis Police Chief Ryan O'Hara has been speaking to reporters.
There is nothing to indicate
that this woman was the target of any law enforcement investigation or activity. This woman was in her car, and it appears then blocking the street because of the presence of federal law enforcement, which is obviously something that has been happening, not just in Minneapolis, but around the country.
Russia says any troops sent to Ukraine by Western governments would be legitimate combat targets after Britain and France announced plans to deploy a multinational force there in the event of a ceasefire. A Russian foreign ministry statement said militaristic declarations by a coalition of pro-Ukraine Western governments were becoming increasingly dangerous. Eight Durham police officers have been suspended after allegations of misconduct during a holiday in Spain. The force says a sergeant, six PCs and a special constable, all based in Chesterley Street, are under investigation for failing to meet professional standards while off duty. All remain suspended. Severe weather warnings have been issued for parts of the UK ahead of Storm Goretti. 30 centimetres of snow could fall in Wales, the Midlands and South Yorkshire, while heavy rain and gusts of up to 90 miles per hour could batter more exposed areas. Jackie Charlton from Powys County Council told LBC it's important people stay safe.
I think the last big occasion was the Beast from the East. You know, if we need to, we can bring extra services in. But as I say, you know, the people who work for Powys County Council, our staff, are in exactly the same position as everybody else. They have to take care. They have to keep safe.
A complaint against the incoming Archbishop of Canterbury over her handling of an abuse allegation has been dismissed. Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, decided Dame Sarah Mullally should face no further action. The complainant has the right to ask for the decision to be reviewed. Dame Sarah will be enthroned at St Paul's Cathedral in London on the 28th of January. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 29 points at 10,020. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. And LBC weather, snow showers continuing across Scotland as Storm Goretti moves in, wet and windy for southern England, and a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Humphrey.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. Now, while all eyes were on Venezuela and Greenland, and we were talking about it plenty, weren't we? ICE agents in Minneapolis have shot dead a young mother who was protesting their raids, and her friends and family say she was merely protecting her neighbours. The Trump administration giving an entirely different version of events. We'll get to that story in a moment. But something I'm going to talk about in more detail at two is the battle of the pub landlords over these new business rates. And Natasha Clark joins me, LBC's political editor, with an important update on this. Natasha.
Yes, Sheila. So it sounds like, speaking to people from within the government today, that another U-turn from them is in fact on the way. We've been reporting, of course, on business rates for many weeks and how many pubs, hotels, restaurants were incredibly worried about the changes to the rates, the removal of that COVID relief, which obviously is going to come in April, and the recalculation of some of those business rates. Sir Keir Starmer spoke to me earlier this week. He admitted that there was a huge problem here.
With business rates, obviously what's happened is there were reductions in place during COVID, which were always going to be unwound at some point. The overall rates are going to be lower, but I accept that because of re-evaluation, that means that some will have their bills going up. We're putting in place transitional relief. We're talking to the sector, particularly hospitality and pubs, about what further support we can put in, whether that's licensing freedoms or other measures. We want to talk to the sector. I want to keep working with them to make sure we can work this through.
Now, the Chancellor had already announced an extra £4.5 billion worth of transitional relief for the industry. But celebrity chef Tom Kerridge, speaking to LBC earlier this week, told us this wasn't enough.
We're just softening the blow. We're still going to, it's still killing you off in 2-3 years time. So it, the packages that are helpful are only helpful for a short period of time. The end result is, for example, my Butcher's Tap and Grill, which is a very small little pub boozer in the middle of Marlow, does burgers, fries, sport on the telly. It's not Michelin star. It's not generating huge revenues. And if we weren't in there, it's the sort of pub that an owner landlord would have, live upstairs, come downstairs, work 70 hours a week, loving that kind of space. The rates at the minute are £50,000 a year. That's going up to £124,000 a year. So a £74,000 increase in business rates.
And today, Sheila, I'm told the Chancellor has had this on her radar for several weeks. I'm told that she commissioned specific research into pubs and how they would be affected. Now, obviously, as the Prime Minister said to me earlier this week, they were looking at licensing and whether they could basically extend and cut some red tape, extend the licensing, extend hours and make it easy for them to, you know, do pints on pavements and longer opening hours, things like that. But also, Sheila, crucially, I'm told that the Treasury were looking specifically at how those business rates for pubs are going to be calculated. So I think we can read between the lines there. That means that struggling boozers may be about to be handed a huge lifeline by the Treasury to keep them afloat. Now, why is this happening now? Well, the finance bill, the Treasury's budget implications, that is coming back to the House of Commons for votes by MPs next week. And I was told that dozens of MPs have already voiced their opposition to the Chancellor on this. And I'm told we may be hearing a bit more from the Treasury next week on this.
Well, we're going to keep tabs on this story throughout the afternoon and talk about it in more detail too. Thank you very much, Dean, Natasha. Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor. I'll be joined at two by Steve Perez, founder of the drinks producer Global Brands, whose products, many of which you'll be very familiar with. He's also a restaurateur and hotelier and the wider hospitality sector. I'm sure we'll have plenty to say as well. So we'll talk about that at two. Thanks to Natasha. But the story that we're focusing on in the first hour of the programme is what happened in Minneapolis yesterday. Protests now taking place after the fatal shooting of 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good by a U.S. immigration agent. There are different versions of events, but there are, importantly, videos from all kinds of angles of what happened. And it's those videos that will prove crucial in the long run when justice takes a proper look at this. As things stand, everyone is taking their own look at it and drawing their own conclusions, including the president himself. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, joins me. For people who might not be familiar, Simon, with the events of this story, take us back to the beginning.
Well, the beginning, Sheila, of course, was the arrival of ICE agents in Minneapolis many, many weeks ago, one of several cities all over the country that Donald Trump has dispatched his masked, thuggish agents to patrol the streets and seize people off the streets and then go away and find out if they are, in fact, candidates for mass deportation. And there have been ongoing protests in Minneapolis and many other cities against the activities of those ICE agents, and constant urgings by city authorities for ICE to leave. Remember that Minneapolis is governed, as is Minnesota, by elected Democrats, which is one of the reasons why ICE has been focusing on the city, coupled, of course, with President Trump's